Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight. Alright, I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday, so that means Wild Card Wednesday is in effect.
Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday, yeah.
Any artist, any song, anything, get your request in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Coming up after the 1:30 news, we're going to talk with James Martinez from the American Lung Association about the Fight for Air ride, which is taking place June 7th through the 9th. Starting in Crystal Lake, going to Lake Geneva. Get on your bike and raise money to help American Lung Association. We'll get all the details on that event, which is coming up, like I said, June 7th through the 9th, with James Martinez from the American Lung Association. Check out action.lung.org for more information. We'll give you all the details on how you can be a part of the ride and much more. So that's coming up. We're also going to be talking about some really crazy real-life contests that actually exist that probably none of us knew had that really did exist. And we're also going to talk about contests in general. If you guys have been in some contests, if you ever won a contest, we haven't talked about this, and it's been a very, very long time since we talked about some of the contests that people, you listeners, have been a part of, and whether you're a winner or whether you've won. We also have real noises that are very weird, that strange sounds that no one can explain. So we have the Earth is its own frontier of intrigue and unexplainable phenomena. From mystery bloops to baffling sonic booms to puzzling hums, our planet rings with unexpected sounds. So we have some of those that confound scientists, and some of them are weird. Then, hey, you know what? You've been cooking these foods wrong the entire time. So we've got some foods that you've been cooking wrong. That's coming up as well. And like I said, it's Wild Card Wednesday, 312-981-7200 for talk and text and for Wildcard Wednesday. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. Stay connected with us and interactive on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcasts. Every single second of every single show is podcast, and you can go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and they're available. It's free to subscribe. It's real easy to do that. Subscribe. It's free. And all the podcasts will automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So that's what's happening on this Wednesday morning. It's a rainy one. I'm looking outside right now. The rain's coming down pretty good right outside the window here. So stay dry. Stay in if you need to. So there you go. All right. So let's say hello to the crew here. My great producer is Tom Hush. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, Nick?
Good, good. I understand that you saw the John Wick.
I did go to the John Wick.
Yeah, and you enjoyed it.
I very much did. Saw it in the Dolby Cinema.
Which is a great way to see a movie.
I gotta say, it's worth the extra dollars. If you can slap down, I think it's only like maybe $4 to $5 extra.
Yeah.
The experience you get, and I'm preaching to the choir with you, Nick, the experience you get is amazing. The sound is incredible. The picture is pristine.
Yeah, it is great. They have these Dolby Cinemas are at the AMC theaters all over the place, and they're not every theater has a Dolby Cinema. There is one here. They've converted one down here at the River East. That's where you saw it. The theater that I go to on a regular basis is the Skokie, the Village Crossing in Skokie. They have both a Dolby and an IMAX theater. So it takes care of all the needs. And whenever there is a movie that should be seen in Dolby, I always opt for that because the seating is amazing and the, you know, the sound is unbelievable. One of the best experiences I ever had in the Dolby Theater, and they're all good. And I saw John Wick in the Dolby as well. A Quiet Place. It was amazing to see that movie in the Dolby Theater. It was unbelievable. So the John Wick, you have some good killing and good fights in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's Buster Keaton level choreography.
They've already announced the date, May 21st, 2021, is for John Wick Chapter 4.
Yeah, which means we're getting Mission Impossible 7 and John Wick Chapter 4 in the same year. I cannot wait.
Probably the same, but I would imagine the same summer, because all the Mission Impossible movies come out in the summer. And, yeah, and those Mission Impossible movies, they just keep getting better. I think the last one's the best of the series. I thought the last one was the best of the series. It blew me away.
And I can't believe how long. It was pretty long, too.
Like
for
2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
No, it was longer than that. It was over 2.5 hours. Yeah.
It was a big one.
And it just didn't seem like that.
No, it
at all.
Flew through, and everybody was perfect in it. It's everything you can
I love
ask
those
for.
Movies.
They're great.
I love them. I think they're great. The weakest one is the one that John Woo directed. That's the weakest one.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible 2.
I got some love for that one.
Oh, I do too.
Fun stuff.
I do too. I know a lot of people hate that one, but I do too. But there's not a bad. There is not one bad Mission Impossible movie, and most of them are great. Like, great. And that, God, Fallout was good. I remember when that was over, I was like, oh my God. So insane. Well, that's cool. I'm glad you got to see it. Let's see. In the newsroom, it's Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Good morning.
How are you, man?
Awesome.
You saw the John Wick over the weekend.
Yeah, and you know, when I took my oldest son to it and Jeannie, and then as we're walking out, I was at the AMC River East.
Yeah.
And I see the Dolby Theater. I'm like, oh, that's what Nick was talking about.
You saw it in the regular
screen.
Yeah,
I got the tickets on my phone, so I didn't see an option come up for Dolby, but I wasn't looking for it either. So.
Yeah, that's anyway. A separate. What they do is because I order usually over the computer as well. I get the tickets and then I have them printed up here at work, and then I bring the piece of paper with me. They scan it. We go in.
Mm-hmm.
It's very convenient. And,
oh, yeah.
And I'm on the Stubbs program, so I get a lot of the. You know, I get a lot of points for it, and I get mm-hmm. discounts and stuff like that. I mean, if I ever buy concessions, I barely, very, very rarely do. But whenever I do, they're either free or really cheap.
Oh, yeah.
Because
of
the Stubbs program. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I highly recommend it.
I might actually join that other program they have where it's like $23, I think, a month, and you get to see a certain
that's
number.
That's the A-list.
They have
the A-list one.
I canceled my movie pass. Or
yeah, well, that didn't work out
nah.
very well.
Boy, it was too good to be true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember asking Tom about it like a year ago.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But the Stubbs program I really like. And you know, you know, Tom, you're talking about how you pay the extra bucks for the Dolby.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because they it's included on the Stubbs program.
Yeah, they give you rewards and you get
I it's I feel bad because the AMC River East, not that far from me. It's a train right away.
Yeah.
In about 20, 30 minutes. But sometimes I'm just like, oh, do I want to go all the way down
yeah.
to see a movie? But it's always worth it.
I don't know where the other Dolby theaters are located. I know there's got to be more than just the one in Skokie and the one at River East. There's got to be more. You know, I would imagine there has to be more. So I would have to do, I mean, I just discovered it because they just put them in like 2 years ago. They're relatively new. The Dolby theaters are relatively new. And that theater that you saw... John Wick in last night, that was just a regular theater for all those years at River East.
Yeah,
and it wasn't until about a year and a half or 2 years ago that I noticed that they turned it into a Dolby.
Yeah, they put in the recliners.
Yeah.
I really like, you know, it's like a first class in a plane because you get the extra leg room.
Well, they're doing that now in all the theaters.
I'm happy for it.
There's a lot of things. You know, the Rosemont, the AMC Rosemont 18, where I do my movie club. By the way, my film club screening this next month on June 11th is Ghostbusters, the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters, digitally remastered on the big screen, incredible sound. They're remodeling that theater. They're remodeling all the theaters at the Rosemont 18 to include all the recliners and stuff like that, getting all fancy. So that's kind of be like a regular thing. At most theaters, they'll have the recliners and all that cool stuff. I saw online, there's actually a theater now that provides beds.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they actually have pillows and beds and stuff. I don't know if I'd trust that.
Yeah, no, I saw a lot of things in my time as a theater employee, and beds is the last thing we need.
Yeah, no, of course not. Now, you know, there was also a theater that opened in, I want to say, Plano, Texas. There was a big story on it. Yesterday it broke, and people were just very, very excited about it. You could bring your dog. So it's a theater where you can bring your dogs, and they have unlimited wine.
Now, can I, you know, I would just be interested in, like, yeah, can I get a non, would you like a dog section or a non-dog section? Or
I don't know if they just let them, I would imagine that they're not let loose to run around in the theater. I would imagine that there's some sort of law or some sort of order in the theater. I don't know, but the thing that everybody was very excited wasn't so much about the dogs. They're very, the very excited wine. About the unlimited wine, especially the women. There were a lot. I saw a lot of women posted on my Facebook or, you know, the news feed or online that women went nuts over the possibility of, like, and especially women dog owners. Like, yeah. I'd take my dog to the movie and just get loaded. So,
oh boy.
Quick before we break here, Vic, how about those Cubs? And Tom, how about the Cubs?
Awesome.
I wish they would.
Bobby Baez,
I don't even know what to say anymore,
wow.
Man. First pitch, he's been out for 2 days. He's been off for two games because of his heel. He's got a bruised heel. And he figured first pitch, I'll just get a single, and bases were loaded, so he didn't have to run, so he didn't hurt his heel. All he did was...
And the crowd also was chanting, Hobby, yeah. Hobby. I mean, stud.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought they were going to lose that game. I really did, but that was a big, big bottom of the ninth. That was huge. And another walk-off. There's got to be some kind of... Vic, we were talking about this off the air in the newsroom. This has got to be some sort of record start with walk-offs.
Yeah, we're statisticians. Come on now. This got to be.
I mean, this is crazy. It's like every week at least two walk-off wins for the Cubs. And, the Phillies are a good team, man. They're in first place in their division.
Yeah.
And so.
That would have been a hard loss, too, because yesterday's was hard enough.
It was terrible. Yesterday was terrible.
Or I should say Mondays, but yeah.
Monday night's loss was terrible. Awesome. But last night again, you know, the starting pitcher pitched a great game and didn't get the win.
I know.
I mean, Quintana pitched really well.
Really good.
Did a very good
job.
So,
man, I got the only issue I'm having is I would rather not these games actually have to go down to the bottom of the ninth for a walk off. I would rather they win, you know, like by 3-4 runs. That'd be nice if that could happen.
Yeah. That's baseball, baby. That's
I know. But we do have to work. I'll tell you something. The Cubs really do have to work on the bullpen. They've got to shore up the bullpen. That's serious. That is. So
you better not change the channel this year if they're behind.
Oh yeah,
because you never know.
You never know what's going to happen.
You can't count them out.
You never know what's going to happen. Very exciting stuff happening with the Cubs. So that was a big win. That was a fun, crazy win. Javi walk off and Chris Bryant best base runner on the Cubs. That's one of the reasons why they won last night was because of Chris Bryant on the base path.
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole game. I didn't start watching until around
two incredible moments in separate occasions of Bryant being on base, running the bases better than anybody, and mm-hmm. one of the reasons why we got those two runs was because of his he's unbelievable in the base path.
I heard there was some good base running last night.
He's also just unbelievable in general because he's having a great season so far.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
Pretty good.
All right. Okay. Listen, we're going to break here, and when we come back, a story about a Vienna beef hot dog recall. I don't know if you've heard, Vic, have you heard about this story?
Yeah, we reported on it yesterday, I believe.
Man.
Monday.
It's a little weird. It's a little crazy, but we'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then after 1:30, we're going to talk about the American Lung Association's Fight for Air ride with James Martinez. That's all coming up on the show. 312-981-7200, talk, text, and Wildcard Wednesday requests. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It is Wednesday, Wildcard Wednesday. You're here, Wildcard Wednesday is wild. Any artist, any song, anything, get your request in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. A couple of quick texts came in, and if you want to text or talk to us at any time during the entire show, till 5, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. 815 area code says, good evening, guys. I just had one question, don't need a spoiler, but in the new John Wick movie, does he still have his puppy, and did he get his Mustang back? I'd rather not say. But I will say this, if you've seen the commercials for the movie, or if you've seen the trailer for the movie, you do see a couple of scenes where he is with a dog. But I won't say anything else. I don't want to give anything in the slightest away. But they did in the trailer or the commercials, they have shown that Keanu is running around with a dog. So 630 area code helps us out. Dolby theaters are at AMC Oakbrook in Naperville, Barrington, Rosemont. I didn't even know. I didn't even know that they had one at Rosemont. Skokie, Crestwood, Vernon Hills, Hawthorne, and River East. Those are where you get to see the Dolby movies. And I highly recommend, if you can get to any of those theaters, the Dolby experience is fantastic. All right. So there was a Vienna beef, as Vic reported on Monday. They talked about this. About 20 Vienna beef food service customers were affected by the company's involuntary recall of about 2,000 pounds of skinless beef hot dogs in Illinois, Wisconsin, and Indiana. The hot dogs were recalled due to contamination of metal, according to the USDA, which issued a statement on Saturday. No one has reported getting sick from eating a contaminated hot dog, according to the USDA and Vienna. The sausage maker reiterated that the recall doesn't affect hot dogs purchased at stores or online retailers. The recall affected about 20 restaurants and other food service customers with about 200 cases of sausage possibly contaminated, said VP of Marketing of Vienna at Tom McGlade. Most restaurants go through about 100 cases a day, he added. The company believes all the contaminated meat is accounted for, but the USDA issued a warning. Writing to the agency is worried about tainted meat, dated May 2nd, which may still be in the restaurant's freezer. My biggest concern is the consumer worried that something they bought at Jewel in the freezer is somehow not healthy to eat, says Vienna McGlade. The USDA statement clearly said it was only food service. Well, that's good, because I have Vienna beef hot dogs in my fridge at home.
Yeah. Although, online retailers? Who's buying their hot dogs online?
A lot of people.
Really?
Oh, sure. A lot of people are grocery shopping, you know, through Amazon and
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Vienna is the legendary Chicago sausage producer founded back in the 19th century. Its encased meats are the choice of most hot dog stands in the city. The customers can find them at places such as Wrigley Field. Many popular hot dog spots prefer to serve natural casings, knowing that the recall didn't affect them as the contaminated hot dogs were skinless. Okay. Well, I don't buy skinless hot dogs. You got to have the snap, as far as I'm concerned. So that was kind of weird. Metal. In a hot dog.
Still better than ketchup.
Well, still better than having ketchup on your hot dog. That's right. Yeah, but you know, people don't know what's in a hot dog anyway. A lot of people, you know, there's always the stories about all this crazy stuff that they jam into hot dogs and all that stuff. Speaking of which, I do want to mention this because we're doing crazy contests a little bit later, and this is an absolutely true story about, I want to say, 40 years ago, when the Vienna sausage plant had the grand opening over there at Diversey, and is it Elston Diversey Fullerton? That place over there, it's right by the bridge. Damon and Fullerton and Elston. Damon Fullerton Elston. That's what it is. So anyway, that's where the Vienna sausage factory is. And when they first opened over 40 years ago, they invited everybody to come and participate in a Polish sausage eating contest. And I don't know how this happened. I was probably, 12 years old or something. Maybe 11, 12, something like that. We talked my mom into being in the Polish sausage eating contest.
Really?
Yeah. She didn't win, obviously. I don't know how many she ate. I think she only had like two. But we were like, come on, go ahead and be in it. And I remember it was in the newspaper. They took pictures and stuff. So we're going to get into contests later. But this is absolutely true. My mom was in a Polish sausage eating contest at the encouragement of my father and myself.
I could see that.
And I still,
come on, Ma, come on, go on.
Exactly, exactly. And I still don't. I still can't believe she said she said yes and didn't say shut up. You do it yourself to my dad. But she did, and we were very proud of her. It was a lot of fun, and we had a good time. And well, on top of that, we got free sausages and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, because my mom participated in it.
So you get a few.
That's why I think that's
you and your dad just
scheming. We were trying to scam Vienna by getting some hot dogs and some sausages. But yeah, and that factory is amazing, by the way. It's a great place. I think they still do tours. And all that cool stuff. So, well, I'm glad that's all cleared up. It was just in restaurants. If you have some Vienna hot dogs in your fridge, like I do at home, no worries, they're fine. So, anyway, but that's weird, metal in hot dogs. Mm. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the news, and then James Martinez from the American Lung Association is going to join us to talk about the Fight for Air ride right after this.
To ride my bicycle.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran at 6 with your morning drive. It's Wednesday. That means Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. 312-981-7200. Coming up a little bit later on, we are going to talk about these weird contests that you probably have no idea existed. We're going to talk about contests in general. And if you've ever been in one or won one or any of that kind of fun stuff, we also have some weird sounds that we're going to play back. They're natural sounds, and they can't be explained. Is the thing, and so that's coming up as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Okay, coming up June 7th through the 9th, the American Lung Association is going to have their the 3-day Fight for Air, the Fight for Air ride. And it starts in Crystal Lake, which is the hometown of my producer, Tom. And it goes to Lake Geneva, and it benefits the American Lung Association. And this has been going on for a while, and we wanted to have somebody on to talk about it and see how you can get involved. The website is action.lung.org, action.lung.org. And again, it happens June 7th through the 9th. And with us is from the American Lung Association is James Martinez. Hi, James. How are you?
Hey there. Good. How are you?
Good, man. Good. How long have you been associated with the American Lung Association?
Well, I've been there for 6 years now.
And how did you get involved?
I'm actually a staff member. I work in the communications team, but I actually participate in the ride myself, just being an avid cyclist. I've done the ride for 5 years.
And how long has the ride been around?
Gosh, more than 30 years.
Wow, is it really 30 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we celebrated our 30-year anniversary about 2 years ago.
Wow, congratulations. That's really great. That's really, so yeah, tell me a little bit about how you got into cycling. Tell me a little bit about that, because I just rode my bike when I was a kid. I haven't been on one in a very long time, so I'm always curious about people who are into the cycling.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a little different. You know, about 10 years ago, actually, I was an avid runner, and I'd run marathons, and so, I would hear that it's important to work in some cross training when you're training for marathons. And so, you know, I bought a bike, and I always had a goal to do triathlons. Unfortunately, about, 8 years ago, I was in a car accident and broke both of my ankles and my fibulas. And my doctor was like, yeah, you can't run anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, so I loved running. I really, really did. I never thought I'd ever love doing anything else more than running. And believe it or not, I never thought I'd say this, but I love cycling even more than I ever loved running.
Wow.
There's no impact, on your knees, on your legs. It's a much safer, easier on the body. It's still challenging, but it's easier on the body than running, than pounding the pavement.
Yeah.
And so, when I started working with the Lung Association, and I figured out they had this ride, I thought it was awesome. And I have a team now, and we raise thousands of dollars every year for the Lung Association. And I get to participate in this ride supporting the company that I work for.
That's so really cool.
Fun.
That's very, very, very cool. But let's go back to your running days for a little bit. You said you ran some marathons. Which ones did you run?
Sure. I did about 6 or 7 Chicago marathons, and I did the Marine Corps marathon once in Washington, D.C.
Did you like running the Chicago? Because the Chicago Marathon is so much fun. I've never run it, but I, you know, but we, you know, we always obviously we cover it, we participate, and I've had friends who've run it. Is that a fun marathon to run?
It definitely is. I mean, it's my hometown. You know, I'd never gotten in my accident, I probably would be running it every year. You know, the rest of my life. It's really cool. You get to fundraise as well if you choose a charity to support. And you know, having your hometown and your family there every year, and it really, really is cool. It is the flattest marathon by far. When I ran the Marine Corps Marathon in D.C., there were a lot more hills.
Oh man,
a lot more hills. So yeah, it was very tough.
Wow. Well, but the Chicago Marathon, one of the things I love about the Chicago Marathon is what you just said, the support of friends and family along the route. So, like, maybe you're at mile, like, 19 and you're about to hit a wall or something, then suddenly you see your friends with signs and things like that, you know?
Yeah, and the community, too.
Yeah.
You know, the community gets involved. Every neighborhood kind of represents during that marathon, so it's really, really cool.
One of my favorite things is at the end of the marathon when everybody's wrapped in tinfoil.
Right. And it's crazy because, you know, every marathon in Chicago, specifically in October, it's always Columbus Day weekend. And it could be, you know, I remember my very first Chicago marathon was the heat wave when someone actually died.
Yeah.
And that was tough. And, you know, 2 years later, it was 30 degrees.
Right. I know. You never know what you're going to get in October in Chicago. Yeah. You never know. Well, it's kind of like right now in May. It was 48 degrees today. It's going to be 83 tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Your association with the American Lung Association. Well, first of all, tell everybody about the American Lung Association. We hear that, you know, we hear about the American Lung Association all the time. Can you get a little history on them and where they and what they do and things like that?
Of course, yeah. So the Lung Association has been around for more than 100 years. Actually started as the Tuberculosis Association, and you know, kind of met their mission and reached their goal of at the time eliminating tuberculosis. Right, it's still around now, or it's making a little bit of a comeback. It's a more controlled, but at the time, tuberculosis was killing people, and so you know, a group of folks got together and said, "Let's do something about this." And once they, like I said, once they reached their goal, they said, "All right, well, let's attack all lung health, right, and all lung diseases." And that's how the American Lung Association then became that name. And so for decades, really, the Lung Association has had, two or three kind of missions, if you will. I mean, the ultimate mission is to support lung health and eliminate lung disease, right? But what does that mean? And so you break that down into a few things. One is investing into life-saving research, right, for lung disease. Another is improving the air that we breathe, right, and advocating for clean air.
Yeah.
And the third is, just helping people manage their lung disease better so that they live healthy lives. So that can be a plethora of different things. Everything from helping people quit smoking to helping children with asthma learn how to manage their asthma better, to helping folks with COPD, you know, and training doctors and nurses how to diagnose and treat lung disease better with the latest research and information. So, you know, we focus on, I like to look at it from a satellite perspective. We focus on your lungs internally, right? So lung disease, and then externally when it comes to the air that we breathe.
Right.
So it's kind of twofold that way. So yeah, I mean, now, like I said, these days we invest millions and millions and millions of dollars every year into lung disease research. Because believe it or not, lung cancer is the number one cancer killer of men and women in the U.S. It kills more people than breast, pancreatic, and colon cancer combined.
Wow.
Okay. But yet, as a country, we invest the littlest money into lung cancer research than any other of those cancers. And so, you know, we're here kind of as that voice and that champion for those folks because, you know, if there's a stigma that only smokers get lung cancer.
Yeah, right.
And And that's not true. Now, more and more people who've never smoked a day in their lives are getting lung cancer. And so, it doesn't matter if you smoked or not. Everyone deserves a fighting chance.
Yeah.
Right? No one deserves lung cancer. And so, you know, we're here. We're in the community. We're hosting events like the ride, stair climbs, walks, to raise money for this life-saving research, to get better detection, early detection, better treatments, and ultimately to save lives.
It's really surprising to hear you tell me that lung cancer has the least amount of funding research. Mm-hmm. That just really, I don't know why that surprises me so much, and I find that really, really kind of unbelievable. How much money do you guys, how much do you average to you raise a year? What are your goals to raise a year?
You know, it ranges, obviously, depending on, you know, the market. Here in Chicago, for example, our stair climb, for example, our stair climb fundraiser at Presidential Towers.
Yeah.
It happens every March. That is the second biggest fundraising climb in the country. It raises more than $500,000 every year.
Yeah.
And it keeps growing. Our number one climb in the country is actually just up north. The neighbors in Milwaukee, they raise, I want to say, $750,000 a year just in that one event.
Wow.
In Chicago, we have another climb out in Oak Brook that raises another couple hundred thousand. We've got this ride, it also raises another couple, and then we've got the walk every right. fall. And so, you know, I'd say, you know, we raise in Chicago alone, close to $1 million a year.
Wow.
We have dozens and dozens of climbs across the country. So, you know, you do the math, that's a huge impact. I mean,
yeah.
You're talking tens of millions of dollars that we're investing.
That's
and
great.
Almost 90 cents, I want to say like 88 or 89 cents of every dollar that we raise goes straight into our mission.
Okay. Right? All right, James, hang on, okay?
No problem.
All right, James Martinez is with us. He's from the American Lung Association. The website is action.lung.org. And when we come back, we're going to give you all the details on the Ride for Air ride, the Fight for Air ride. It takes place on June 7th through the 9th. We'll give you all the details on how you can be involved and how you can donate and be a part of it right after we take a break here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we are here until 5 a.m. It's Wednesday. That means Wildcard Wednesday, so get your requests in now. One art or any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. We're going to play a round of Know Your Onion, and Tom is going to read you some news headlines, and you have to guess if it's a real news headline or an onion or a fake comedy headline from The Onion. So you tell if it's real or if it's The Onion, and we'll give you some prizes. That's coming up a little bit later on. Right now, though, we are talking with James Martinez from the American Lung Association. Website is action.lung.org. From June 7th to June 9th, starting in Crystal Lake, going to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, there is the Fight for Air ride, and we want to get all the details on that, so we welcome James back to the show. James, welcome back.
Thanks, Nick. Happy to be here.
All right, so tell me about how the route is chosen. You start in Crystal Lake, and then you end up going up into Lake Geneva. How was that route chosen?
You know, we try to choose the best, safest. Safety is obviously the first, the first aspect. Second is, smooth pavement. And then you got to get the miles in, right? Because it's 50 miles a day. So, the team does a great job of choosing, the most scenic routes as well. And so,
yeah.
That's how it happens. I actually volunteer, to mark the route with stakes and arrows 2 days before the ride.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty cool. Yeah. It's a fun time.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so it starts in, McHenry County College at Crystal Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes up to the Abbey, and you can stay at the Abbey Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva. And how can people participate? Now, you're a 2-day rider. You can be a 3-day rider. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's right. That's right. And you know, the just real quick, I know you mentioned the website. You can go to action.lung.org. You can also just simply go to lung.org, by the way.
Oh, okay.
But either one is okay. Either link works. But if you obviously register, there's a small registration cost. There's a fundraising element to it, depending if you ride by yourself or as part of a team. The bigger the team you join or you create, the less you have to fundraise, right? Because you've got the power in numbers there.
Yeah.
And so, you mentioned it. You can ride 2 days or 3 days for 50 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ride the 3 day, I'll give you that scenario first, right?
Yeah.
You drive up to McHenry College. You drive up there ready to ride, basically, right? In your gear with your bike and some luggage. You get a parking pass that lets you stay. Let you leave your car at McHenry College for the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it'll be safe. And then you give your luggage to the Lung Association staff, and you get on your bike. And you head out. Everyone heads out at the same time. And when you get to Lake Geneva, to the Abbey Resort, which is a beautiful spot, by the way, I'm sure a lot of people know it.
Yeah.
Been there for a while. Your luggage is there. And you finish riding and take your luggage. You check in. And, anyone who's done any sort of cycling, 50 miles sounds like a challenge. But cyclists of all levels do it. We've people do it together. Cyclists of all levels, of all ages, do it. It's not a race. You take your time. There's rest stops. Still, we do start. We leave McHenry College right around 8 or 9 a.m. So everyone gets to the Abbey probably about 3 or 4 hours later. Again, beautiful, beautiful views.
Yeah, yeah.
You stay at the Abbey again on Saturday. You hang out. It takes you 4 hours to do that ride. You hang out the rest of the day. Sunday, you wake up and you ride back to McHenry College, and your luggage is back there waiting for you. And it's awesome. I take my family up there. We look forward to it every year. It's a great ride. Now, if you're a 2 day rider, then you only do Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I see.
You don't do Friday.
Okay. Wow. That sounds really great. Now, listen. How does one prepare for this? Like, how do you train for this to do that kind of to do those kind of miles?
Sure. I think I was telling you earlier how I used to be a marathon runner, and it's very similar to that. It's not as challenging as running 26.2 miles, but you still have to train for it. And that's a great point. Great question. Running, you do have to work in every weekend kind of a longer ride, right? So like a longer distance. And then in between the weeks or in between on the weekday, weekdays, you do shorter rides, right? You kind of get your legs worked up a little bit. You get them moving. And then every week, you just kind of build up your mileage, right? So, last weekend, my team and I, we did 25 miles. You know, this coming weekend, we'll probably do 30. You know, the next weekend, we'll do 40.
Yeah.
So that way, by the time we get to ride weekend, we know what our bodies are going to need during the ride, work out all the kinks on our bike and on our bikes, and then we're ready for the ride. So there's all kinds of training programs you can find online, but actually the Lung Association does provide one for novice riders that just kind of need a little bit of guidance.
That sounds great. Now, I know that there are several teams right out of WGN that actually participate in the climb. There's a lot of participation on the part of the people who work here at this station in that one.
We can't say enough how much we love WGN radio and TV.
Yeah.
The WGN radio and WGN TV have been media partners for our stair climb. I want to say since it started more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And your teams, actually the WGN radio team this past climb, just this past March, was the biggest it's ever been. I mean, I want to say it was almost 30 people.
Yeah.
You guys had on those blue t-shirts and you guys are the ideal partners when it comes to our event. So we thank you guys. And you guys do have actually a ride team as well that participates every year.
Yeah.
Not as big, but still raise a lot of money, and we appreciate the support.
Oh, that's great. All I know is that we see a lot of people here in the building, and when we were over at the Tribune building, right around January, we see a lot of people in the building just running up and down stairs. Just in the stairwell, right around the beginning of the year, getting ready for the climb, especially when we were at the Trib building, because there were so many weird. Because the Trib building was just, I'm assuming you've been in the side of the Trib building. There's so many weird stairwells and weird rooms and places to explore by climbing up and down the stairs that people would have just a riot preparing for the climb. So the people can support now, and if you don't want to participate, you can donate, right? You can just go to lung.org, and there's a place there where people can show some support and donate even if they don't participate in the ride.
Yes, 100%. We even have a category called virtual rider, right? Where you can you can register for the event and still fundraise for the event, or you can go to our page. There's right on the top right, there's a big donate button, and you can donate that way. Many different ways to support.
That's great. Once again, it's June 7th through the 9th. Starts in Crystal Lake, goes to Lake Geneva. You can ride 2 days, which would be Saturday and Sunday, or 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the goal is to raise a ton of money. So get a team together or do it on your own and go to lung.org for information and to sign up. Anybody can sign up. The more riders, the better. The more money that's raised, the better. And it all goes to the American Lung Association. And it's going to be beautiful. And hopefully the weather will be really nice. And, that ride from Crystal Lake to Lake Geneva, and we all know how beautiful Lake Geneva is too. There's going to be a lot of beautiful things to see as you're riding and staying in shape. Hey, James, before I let you go, you ever see the movie Breaking Away?
I have.
Yeah. Okay. I just hit. it's one of my favorite movies of all time, and I figured as a cyclist, you had probably seen it.
Of course, of course. Hey, Nick, one more thing I just want to add, because I want to make this clear. With your fundraising minimum, the stay at the Abbey Resort is included.
Oh.
As is your breakfast and dinner.
Oh, so, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't want people to think that, I got to pay to register, then I got to pay to stay at the Abbey. No, all you got to do is register, fundraise, and your stay at the Abbey is included.
That's great. Okay.
As part of the, just want to make that clear.
Yeah. That's a great detail that we needed to we needed to get that one out there. James, pleasure to talk to you, sir. Good luck. I hope you guys raise a ton of money.
Nick, we appreciate everything. We love you guys, and we'll see you out there.
All right. Take care, buddy. James Martinez, everybody, American Lung Association, June 7th through the 9th. It's the Fight for Air ride, and it's from Crystal Lake to Lake Geneva. You can register at lung.org. If you don't want to participate or you can't participate, give some money. But get a team together. Raise some money. Have some fun on the bikes that weekend. So there you go. My thanks to James Martinez. Check out lung.org. All right, we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN, and the news is next. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're about 9 days away from Godzilla, the new Godzilla King of the Monsters movie, which is going to be the greatest movie ever made in the history of mankind. So there you go. Welcome back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That was Wild Card Wednesday. Who requested the Blue Oyster Cult?
That was Big Ed.
Big Ed. All right. Looking forward to Godzilla. Wildcard Wednesday, everybody. You hear me? Wildcard Wednesday. That is any artist, any song, anything. Get your request in now. We'll play them now. Later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. So, we were talking about Zeppelin and concerts in the 70s yesterday. So, Blue Oyster Cult, who I saw in concert a couple of times, were notorious for their laser show. That was like the big thing, man. Like, yeah, man. Lasers, man. So people would blow a bunch of weed and then go, man, check out the lasers. Because they had some big shows have the lasers. But in the 70s, it was a big thing.
Well, it was like a thing. You'd go to the planetarium. They'd have the rock and roll laser
show.
Yeah,
they would,
but
do,
they
like
would
the,
do it live.
They would do it like Pink Floyd. They would play lasers and stuff like that. But like these guys would, like, you know, the concerts in the 70s, it was all about blowing weed and looking at lasers. And they'd be like, wow, man, I can't believe these lasers. So there was this story about how notorious the laser show was for Blue Oyster Cult. And at one point, I mean, I saw their show, and it was ridiculous. At one point, like, it appears that Eric Bloom, the lead singer, who's wearing like a long glittery robe and sunglasses, is like walking on a bed of laser beams above the audience, and people were just like, "Oh my God, man! I've never seen anything like this. Let's smoke a lid." So. Then there was this story that he had at one point in the show. He was wearing a ring on his finger. That's where you wear rings. I don't know if you knew that or not, but this is where he had a ring on his finger, and a laser beam would shoot out of it, so he could like move the laser beam around. And so there was a real incident that happened where I guess Eric Bloom did this, and he like damaged someone's eyes in the audience, like a damage to somebody's eyes. And so they had to cut down on their lasers because it was like people were like people's eyes were getting hurt and things like that. So they had to cut down on lasers. And this is a true story. They had to like cut their laser budget down like a third or maybe a half because like people were freaking out and people like there was a little bit of eye damage, particularly one guy in the city who was like, but the rumor mill was always like, it was the story was like, man, Eric Bloom blew out this guy's eyeballs with lasers. You know, like that was the rumor. It was like he aimed the laser beam and the guy's eyes blew up and exploded out of his eye sockets. And you know what, man? The dude didn't even care, man, because it was such a great show. He stood there blind with blood shooting out of his eyes, loving the lasers. And that was like the story that went around was like, hey, man, Eric Bloom blinded a kid. It was like some 16-year-old kid. He blew his eye. His eyeballs blew up. So that was always like one of my favorite like stupid 70s concert pot related rumors was that Eric Bloom from Blue Oyster Cult made some 16-year-old kid's eyes explode out of his head with a laser beam.
What a time.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's always, it's always. And then like I saw him before that incident on that tour, and then they had to cut down on the lasers, so I got to see the full thing.
Did the lasers hurt your eyes?
No, they did not.
No.
They did not. He did have the ring, though, with the laser beam in it. He did. I don't know if he killed anybody in the Chicago Stadium at that time. No, that was the amphitheater. That one was at the amphitheater. Blue Oyster Cult was at the amphitheater. But yeah, I don't know if he blew, you know, if some kid's eyes blew up at the amphitheater that night. Yeah, man, the guy's eyes exploded. But he didn't care, man. It was awesome.
Good old Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah, man. Godzilla. So, yeah, concerts in the 70s. Oh, man. We could do it. We could do 3 days on that. Whew. God. All right. So we're talking about crazy real-life contests that a bunch of us probably had no idea existed. And I mentioned before, and I want to hear from you guys if you've ever entered a contest. What contest was it? Was it a weird contest? Did you win? What did you win if you did win? 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. But this is from crack.com. So here's one. Blade Sports, the official sport of mall ninjas. The hell is that? What is a mall ninja?
It's, you know, a particular type of 14-year-old that kind of runs around and does, like, bad parkour.
In malls?
In malls, yeah. It was prevalent during my time in middle school. You'd go to the malls, Spring Hill Mall, which is a crappy place to begin with.
Uh-huh.
And you just got, 14-year-old anime fans running around like idiots.
In a mall?
In a mall. They usually congregated in the Hot Topic. Which is a
Wait. Hey, man, let's go meet at the Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Because we're going to parkour through the mall.
Where else are you going to get your, Fall Out Boy t-shirts?
I guess.
And run through the mall.
Blade Sports. Now, why is it called Blade Sports? Does it involve rollerblades or blades or what?
This particular one involves blades, like a sword, I'm pretty sure.
What?
They didn't do that in malls, though. It was just that type of person.
Oh, mall ninjas. Okay, that makes sense because they got blades. They're ninjas. All right. Okay, let's see. Blade sports is the ultimate test of a blade handler's precision, power, and grace as measured by people who hung katanas over their beds in high school. Maybe not grace. Contestants, quote, run a gauntlet of slicing and chopping, dispatching a series of increasingly non-threatening items that include wooden boards, ropes, straws, cans, water bottles, and tiny balls. Because you are not a true master of the blade until you have proven your mettle against all manner of household goods. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. To compete in the electrifying, sexually charged world of blade sports, you must first become certified as an official blade sports instructor or a, quote, blade sports recognized cutting school. Which can be found in a suburban strip mall across the land. Your weapon must also satisfy a long list of specifications to protect the beautiful sport from devolving into assembly of fat guys swinging their homemade buster swords. Top competitors are usually sponsored by knife makers, although some, like the Jedi, construct their own weapons. The competitive knife must be able to split a 2x4 and fillet a straw so that it can cost up to upwards of $900. Competitions usually award nothing more than a belt buckle. at least until their ESPN deal kicks in. Here's something that he took home. It's a buckle suitable for countless of occasions from a knife show competition and a Halloween costume as a knife show competitor. That was the most prestigious knifing event, which was the 2018 Blade Show. For a master blade smith to make some real money, they must sell their soul to the History Network, which, of course, sold its old soul by rejecting history in favor of programs like Forged in Fire and the Bill Goldberg-hosted spinoff Forged in Fire Knife. Bill Goldberg is in the wrestler Goldberg? In these Emmy award-winning affairs, four expert smiths compete to see who can craft the best blade for chopping down an ice block. Hosted by Bill Goldberg, I'm assuming wrestler Goldberg. So that's Forged in Fire, Knife or Death. So this is a real thing. So this is a little different than just teenagers parkouring. These guys have a knife and their
knives
and they're cutting stuff. And then they win a belt buckle.
Yeah, and it is definitely Goldberg.
Goldberg is the host.
It's Bill Goldberg.
Wow, he's on a car commercial now, Goldberg. I used to love when Goldberg first came to the WCW. I loved him. I thought he was great, and he had that whole undefeated streak. Who's next was his phrase. I loved Bill Goldberg. I thought Goldberg was fantastic. I always liked him. I liked him when he came to the WWE too. I liked him in the damn Looney Tunes Go Nuts, the Joe Dante movie.
Yeah, Back in Action.
Yeah, loved him in that.
What about the Longest Yard remake? He's in that.
Yeah, he is. No, I can't. I can't get behind that. Here's how much I like the Looney Tunes Go Back in Action. Jenna Elfman is funny in it. That's how much I like that movie, and I can't stand Jenna Elfman.
Woof,
can't stand her. That Dharma and Greg. Oh my god. Oh my god. Does Trucker Rich know about blade sports?
He does.
Hi, Rich.
Hey, Nick. How are you doing tonight?
You know what? Do you watch blade sports on TV?
I have. I mean, I'm not a faithful follower, you know, but I've seen it.
Uh-huh.
And it is Goldberg, the wrestler.
Yeah.
And it starts out with contestants. They bring their own knife, whether they've made it or bought it, and then it gets inspected by a knife judge to deem it safe or not. And then they run through an obstacle course. I mean, they're chopping through ice blocks. They've got sandbags that are on like seesaws or teeter totters.
Oh,
through those.
Yeah.
Before it hits the ground, and they got to get all three of them. Then they run through and cut like burning ropes that are like the size of barge ropes. And
wow.
and chopping through an ice block, and then they got to cut through, like, the one that usually gets them is when they have to cut through a fish carcass, because, you know, by then their knives are usually beat to hell, and then they got to run up an obstacle course platform and then chop through something up there to drop the hammer that stops the timer. And
you know what? I think I have to watch this. I'm pretty sure.
You can get it on Hulu.
I think I believe, Trucker Rich, that you have convinced me that I absolutely need to watch this.
Oh, it's kind of funny and kind of weird, but, you know. I mean, it's like when I get home and I'm sitting up at 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday mornings because I usually work nights and can't sleep. It's usually a rerun of the day before or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's...
All right.
You know, and then you got Goldberg, you know, doing his typical Goldberg, like, oh, my God, did you see that? You know, and stuff like that.
All right, I'm watching this. I'm definitely watching this. There's no question about it.
And I forget how much money, but they compete for in the championship round. I mean, it's a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right. Well, you've convinced me.
You might like it.
You've convinced me, Rich. I'm definitely going to watch it. All right, thanks, Trucker Rich. Take care, buddy.
Yep. Bye-bye.
That's incredible.
That sounds just fantastic to me. That sounds like enormously entertaining television.
I just, with Goldberg, too.
Especially, that's the thing that puts it over the top for me.
That's incredible.
Is that it's Goldberg. Wow. Now, you know, let's add it to the never-ending list of crap that I watch on TV.
Yeah. Well, I want to see what Goldberg has to say about it sometime.
Yeah. When I get home in the morning after I watch, because, you know, I'm that kind of guy, I'm going to watch Fosse Verdon, then I'm going right to Blade Sports right after that. Because, you know, you go from Fosse Verdon to Goldberg. All right, let's break here. Everybody hang on. If you want to jump in, we're talking about contests, weird contests that we didn't even know exist, and that we've already kicked it off with a weird one, and which also TV shows that I didn't even know existed. So if you ever been in a contest, have you ever entered one, won one, what did you win? Are some of the strangest ones or some of the more interesting contests? And we'll get back to some of the other weird ones here that I have in this article.
Roger Ramjet and his Eagles fighting for freedom. Fly through in an outer space, not to join him, but to be him. Roger Amjad, he's our man, hero of our nation. For his adventures, just be sure and stay tuned to the station.
Yeah. It didn't take long for the old crazy TV theme songs to pop up on Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. Any artist, any song, anything. Get your requests in at 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
That was Paul.
Paul. All right, Paul. Well, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here until 5 a.m. We got some actual weird sounds that the Earth makes. We're going to play back and discuss and try and figure out. And I got a list of foods that you're preparing wrong. But right now we're talking about contests, weird contests. And we just talked about Blade Sports, the official sport of mall ninjas, which, and of course, the TV show Forged in Fire, Knife or Death, which Bill Goldberg, the wrestler, hosts. And I now have a new favorite show that I need to watch immediately. Other weird contests. That's what we want to get into. Have you ever entered a contest? Have you ever been in a weird contest? If you've ever entered any contest at all and you'd won, what have you won? 312-981-7200. Here's Carol on WGN. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how you doing today?
All right.
I will say this first. Forged in Fire is an amazing show.
Oh, my God.
Where did this come from?
I can't believe it. How is it possible that more than one person has ever seen this show? I've never even heard of it.
I don't even know how to make a knife, but these guys are bladesmiths, and they compete, I think, for 10 grand.
Uh-huh. Well, all right.
It's amazing.
Well, I'm convinced. I'm definitely convinced. I'm going to watch.
I mean, it's not a joke show. I mean, these guys are bladesmiths.
All right.
Whatever you call what they do for a living.
All right.
Anyway, the contest that I seen was where these people drank so much water they had to hold the car, they couldn't go pee-pee.
Yeah, it's a contest where if you keep your hand on the car at all times, you win the car. Whoever lasts the longest wins the car. They actually made a documentary, Carol, a film called Hand on Hard Body.
I heard that.
And it's a really, really good movie.
No, I never seen it. What's it called?
Hands on Hard Body. It's not what you think it is. It sounds like a, you know, it sounds like some sort of softcore movie.
Yeah.
It's about people who enter these contests, who enter the contest to keep their hands
craziness.
On to win a truck or something, and they have to stay there. Yeah. So,
what have you ever done crazy?
I haven't really. I have not entered. I don't enter a lot of contests because. Carol, thanks.
I'm sorry.
All right, that's okay. All right, Carol, thanks. we're okay.
Yeah.
8 seconds. It's okay. So, you know, they used to have this thing, the bar Exit?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it used to be on Wells in Old Town, right down the street from Second City. That's where the original Exit was before they moved it on, where is it, on North Avenue now?
Yeah,
it's on North.
Right it's the punk bar, right?
It's right by the expressway, North Avenue. Anyway, they used to have this thing at Exit where they would on certain nights they would handcuff you to the bar, and you drank for free. You drank beer for free until you had to leave to pee, and then you had to pay. So you could drink beer for free until you had to leave the bar. They would uncuff you and you had to leave the bar and go to the bathroom.
Okay, is there any way you could drink without?
Oh yeah, people would wear Depends. I'm not kidding.
And then when the bar closed down, they were like, "Well, you never left the bar."
That's right. So I drank for free all night. People would wear. I'm not kidding. People would wear Depends. But that was a thing. I don't know. I can't remember. Or maybe it was maybe it was like 50 cents for a beer or something like that. Maybe it was like a hugely it was either free or very, 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 very cheap. And I think it was like swill beer. I would imagine it was just like the crappiest stuff they ever had on tap that you would have to drink. You could drink for free until you peed. And then they would unlock, they had the key to the handcuffs behind the bar. And then they would unlock the handcuffs so that you would run to the bathroom and pee. And then when you came back, you had to start paying full price or whatever it was.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. How desperate are you to get loaded on crap beer to pee your pants? How, you know, I'm an alcoholic and I would have never done that. You know what I mean? When I was a drinking man, I drank a lot, but there's no way I would just wear Depends so I could drink for free or drink cheap beer.
Have some dignity.
Good Lord. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a lot of dignity when I was drinking. Trust me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's break, shall we? And we've got more weird contests to talk about. We want to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. Have you ever entered any kind of contest, even if it's not weird? Are you a contest enterer? Have you won in the past? Have you won a lot of prizes? What about that? Are you one of those lucky people that enters things and wins all the time? And then we'll get to the other weird contests. It's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. The news is coming up right after this.
Hello, all. How'd things go for you today? Don't you miss her? Since she up and walked away. And I'll bet you dread to spend another long night.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Wildcard Wednesday, all over the map, as always. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. Get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. Who requested that?
That was Joliet Mike.
Oh, okay. Who is that?
It's Willie Nelson.
Oh, yes. Young Willie Nelson. He sounded like he was 12.
It's before, I'll have to look at what album this is from. Oh, it's recorded in 1961.
Yeah.
That's a young man.
That was a young woman. I wonder if he blew weed then.
Sometimes I wonder if he invented weed.
Yeah, I know.
Prior to Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
He coined the term lid.
Yeah, right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Are you a contest enterer? And do you have luck in contests? Have you won? What have you won? What prizes have you won? What contests have you entered? We're talking about that in general. We want to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Talk or text contest enterers who win and what have you won? And also weird contests, which we're going through here. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. All right. How about fingerboarding? This is the next fingerboarding competitions for people who never left the 90s. Fingerboards ruled the Walmart toy section in the late 90s. Their siren call proving irresistible to kids who thought that skateboarding was cool, but were too uncoordinated or lazy to actually do it. And somehow they're still as popular as ever thanks to a generation of young fingerers who will make your digits feel clumsy, like clumsy pieces of crap. Who says millennials don't aspire to anything? All right, so this is like people who have mini skateboards for their fingers, if I'm not mistaken. These are professionals somehow, so of course they have their own signature boards that can cost that you can own for a mere $125.95 instead of spending that money on literally anything else. That's mostly a convenience fee for being able to buy online instead of having to go to the nearest dollar store. And instead of shredding on math textbooks, kitchen tables, and patient dogs like the rest of us did, they're using professional sets that go for $2,000. And there's an actual half pipe for $700 less. A bunch of fingerboarding companies have popped up to sponsor riders, sell hoodies, and heroically insist that their sport doesn't sound like a weird fetishish combination of fingering and waterboarding. It's just like real skateboarding, except for the lack of fans, physical exertion, and cultural relevance. Fingerboarders can't exactly make a living on their craft. But prizes at a larger international tournaments can reach $5,000, which is easy enough to go on a pretty epic bender, though not epic enough to forget that you earned your money by fingerboarding. So keep an eye out for Pro Fingerboarder, coming soon to a knockoff video game console near you. I have seen this. I didn't know that this still existed. I didn't know that this still existed. But I remember when it became a thing in the late 90s, early 2000s. I remember when they would do sort of pop culture news stories about it. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Tom, you didn't go through a fingerboarding stage, did you?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Well, I mean, a lot of my friends had them.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I never collected them. I think my younger brother was more into it because he actually was a skateboarder. Like, he used to skateboard everywhere.
Yeah.
And he would go to the skate park and everything like that. And that was just like a thing he collected, was little tech deck fingerboards. They're so dumb.
And I still can't believe it exists. I can't believe it exists and that they have contests for it. I mean, I've seen footage of it. It really is the stupidest looking thing I've ever seen. It really is just, it's idiotic.
But, I mean, think about it. An hour ago, you didn't know that Blade Sports existed.
No, I didn't. I mean, I knew this existed. I knew it was a thing. I didn't know it was still a thing. This is like 20 years ago when it would actually became like sort of a cultural kind of a footnote that was strange and was reported on in the news and on entertainment shows and stuff like that. And I was like, what are these kids doing?
Get out and skateboard.
Yeah. So, well, it still exists. 847 area code says, that stupid Jewel Monopoly game, I'm done. 3 years now, not even a $5 winner. Angry face, never again. My dad does the Jewel Monopoly thing because, he works at the Jewels. And by the way, the Jewel employees get different game pieces, because I guess there are different rules for Jewel employees, so they get different game pieces. But my dad was a Monopoly collector. He did Monopoly, and he won $5 here, $5 there, tons of discounts on food and coupons and stuff. And last year he won $250.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's good that the employees are allowed to participate too.
Yeah.
And that they've got like a whole different thing.
It's a different thing. They want to keep it separate from
right.
So it's an employee only Jewel Monopoly game, and my dad won $250 last year.
I used to play McDonald's Monopoly a lot.
Yeah, they had the Monopoly too.
Yeah. I didn't win any cash, but I won a lot of McChickens.
Well, that's not bad. I like the McChicken.
No, I was going to spend the money on McChickens anyway.
There you go. You know, it was funny. I was working at McDonald's in 1984. And I don't, you don't remember this because you weren't alive yet. But in 1984, the Summer Olympics happened in 1984. And Russia boycotted the Olympics because of tensions between, you know, America and at that time the Soviet Union. And so they boycotted the Olympics, and McDonald's had a deal where if you play the Summer Olympic McDonald's game, and if you played along, I can't remember exactly how the game was played, but you would win every time. You would win like a Big Mac or some sort of food item every single time the U.S. won a gold medal. So the Soviet Union is not there. And I think another country also boycotted. So the U.S. dominated the 84 Olympics. McDonald's lost tons of money on that campaign. you know, they obviously finalized it before the political stuff happened and before the boycott. And I remember specifically because I was working at McDonald's at and it's still there, Irving and Major, between Central and Austin on Irving. That was the McDonald's that I worked at. And I remember vividly going out to the lobby because people were collecting free food constantly. They were coming. I can't remember how you had to do it. You had to have a game piece. I don't know what it was. I can't remember. Maybe somebody remembers. This was back in the day when they were still serving Big Macs in styrofoam containers.
Yeah.
So. I remember going out to the lobby to do a sweep of the lobby to go out, and I look in the lobby, and someone at a table had stacked up all the empty Big Mac containers that they had. There had to be 30 of them, like stacked up in a triangle, just to show. They didn't throw them out. They just stacked them up so that we could see the volume of food that we were losing and giving away.
The summer of... the Big Mac.
Summer of 84, man. It was just like, I remember our managers were losing their minds, and like there was, you know, like Oak Brook almost blew up because they were all upset. I mean, they gave away, I can't imagine the amount of food that they gave away, considering just the one store that I worked at in one, like, this was like an hour and a half. You know, I was maybe 2 hours. I walk out to the lobby and a giant stack of empty Big Mac styrofoam containers stacked up really high. So that, and you know, the smartasses who did it were like, look how much free food you're giving away. We didn't pay a dime for any of this. That was a promotion for McDonald's that absolutely backfired. And I don't think they ever again, I'm sure that they had some sort of tie in with the Olympics, as, you know, many restaurants, fast food, but and businesses do. But I don't think they ever did, hey, we'll give away free food for every gold medal that the U.S. wins. And they dominated that year. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Taco Bell has done something like that in recent years.
They do one for base stealing. I can't remember if it's in
the World Series.
World Series or the playoffs or something like that. Yeah. If somebody steals a base, you get a free taco.
Yeah. They did one for the NBA as well.
Yeah.
So they do similar things, but they make it harder than just the U.S. dominating the 1984 Summer Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just, I mean, it was just such a huge backfire. I swear to you, man. I remember it vividly. I mean, I took advantage of it too.
Do McDonald's employees get free McDonald's?
You get a free meal. I don't know. Shift. I don't know now. I worked there 40 years ago. So,
but you get a shift meal.
You get a shift meal. A break meal.
Yeah.
But you know, we would take whatever was in the bin at the end of the night every night.
Ugh.
And we would, you know, here's what we would purposely cook fresh stuff and then throw it in the bin 10 minutes before we closed, so that when we closed,
clever.
You know, working at McDonald's was ridiculous because we seriously ate everything. The McRib was an actual full-time menu item when I worked there. It wasn't a seasonal thing. It wasn't, hey, McRib time. This was on the menu all year round. And they were kept in a in these metal containers that had the sauce in them. So you would cook them on the grill, and then they would marinate in the heated sauce, which was put on some boiling water and kept, you know, to steam. And so you would have – so one of the containers with the metal lid on top of it with the sauce contained the McRibs for the customers, and then the other one contained the ripped up shredded McRib that I would rip up, and that would be my McRib container, and I would just stick the tongs in and just grab out a piece of meat and eat it while I was working. Just a container. There was a container for McRib, shredded McRib for me, and then full patty McRib for the customer.
Nick's famous shredded McRib.
That's exactly right. But it wasn't just me. It was a lot of people who worked there did that. Here's Michael on WGN. Hi, Michael.
Hi, guys. This is way before probably your time. But back when I was 7 years old, 1959, my father was into the sport of fast draw, and because of all the Westerns that were on TV and stuff.
Oh, right. Sure.
And something came up on newspapers to where Sammy Davis Jr. Welcomed anybody to come to his contest at the Shea Paree and compete against him.
In a drawing, in a fast draw contest?
Yeah.
With Sammy Davis Jr.?
Yeah. But it was all about kids to begin with. I mean, they sectioned it off by age, and then they would take the winners from the age, and they would kind of combine them until it got to a winner-take-all type thing.
That's crazy. I've never heard that before in my life.
So I was 7, and I beat everybody. And then it got to, like, 9, and I beat all the 9-year-olds. And then, anyway, it got to the whole thing, and I beat everybody. So then it was, I had to compete against Sammy Davis Jr. And he never got his gun out of his holster. It was funnier than hell.
This is insane. So what did you beat Sammy Davis Jr. in a fight? I can't believe this story. I cannot believe, this is the craziest story I've ever heard. So what did you win?
I won a night out for my parents with him at the Shea Paree.
No kidding. Your parents get to hang out with Sammy Davis Jr.?
Yeah, and I took my happy ass home and did nothing. Okay, he signed my suede Banner 50 holster.
Yeah,
and my old man put it away, and I never saw it again.
That's unbelievable. That's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard, Michael. That is such
The funny thing is, years after that,
yeah,
at a bar in Oak Lawn, this guy was talking to my dad, and he. My old man evidently talked about fast draw or whatever, and he started telling my dad about how he got into this contest, and he was older than me. He got into this contest at the Shea Paree back when he was 12 years old or whatever, and he said some kid just kicked my butt. And
that was you.
And it was me. And the old man goes, that was my son. It's like, and then he and I became friends for years.
That's outstanding. God, what a great story, Michael. That's amazing. I appreciate, yeah. I should appreciate you calling in, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. That's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
When he told me that over the phone, I couldn't believe
it. I mean, that's just one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
He outdrew
Sammy Davis Jr., and his parents got to hang out with Sammy Davis Jr.
Well, I mean, he was 7 years old. You can't put a 7-year-old in the shape.
Man, oh, man, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. All right, we're talking about contests, weird contests. If you've entered contests, are you a contest enterer? Do you win? 312-981-7200. We'll continue the conversation right after this. One of my favorite songs of all time.
Really?
Truly one of my favorite songs of all time. It's my it's tied, almost tied, like two favorite disco songs of all time. That is my favorite disco song of all time, followed very, very closely by Best of My Love. Whoa, whoa.
Oh,
you
yeah,
got
yeah,
the
yeah.
best, which opens up Boogie Nights.
That's true.
With that incredible long swirling take through Louis Guzman's club. Louis Guzman, by the way, who my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo, plays his mistress on the new show, on the new TV show, Perpetual Grace Limited, which debuts on June 2nd. Who requested Cheryl Lynn?
That was Willie in Gurnee.
Good taste, Willie. Hey, coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. I still can't get over that Sammy Davis story.
That's a Hall of Famer.
Oh,
right,
that's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay, so we were talking about when I was working at McDonald's back in 1984, they had an Olympic tie-in, and someone remembers the actual prizes. This is how it worked. Listen to this. It's even worse. It's even worse than I thought, Tom, because this is ridiculous. Like I said, there was a boycott of the Soviet Union boycotted the Olympics in 1984, and then the USA dominated. And this is what McDonald's promised. And the 708 area code says, if USA won gold, you got a Big Mac. If they won silver, you got a free pop. If they won bronze, you got a small fry. And if the USA swept the medals, you got all three.
Oh,
my God.
Wow. So a lot of people were eating full meals.
I'm telling you, man. No, seriously, it was absolutely nuts. It was nuts. 630 area code says, they made fun of the McDonald's 1984 Olympic promotion on The Simpsons with Krusty Burger in a flashback episode. So Krusty did a terrible tie-in. The 1984 McDonald's Olympic promotion. It's sort of legendary. And I was right in the thick of it, man. Oh, man. All right. How about this? More contests. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. I'm trying to think if I ever entered. I mean, you know what I would do? I would do radio contests. Like this.
You were good at them, too.
Be this caller. Yeah, I would do that a lot. Be this caller and win. Give me a caller number 9 wins at 591 whatever. And so you would call, and I knew when the radio stations would do their promotions, like at what point during the hour they would do them. And I had my phone at the ready, and I would just boop, 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 and I won a lot. And I also won a lot because there was have you ever heard of Captain Whammo?
No.
Oh no. So I have to explain who Captain Whammo is. Captain Whammo. Yeah, man, Captain Whammo on the Whammo Lion. He was a DJ in Chicago who was on WMET and another FM rock station. And I listened to him all the time, Captain Whammo. And he was like, yeah, man, Captain Whammo opening up the Whammo Lion. And he could get two syllables out of the word line. Captain Whammo and the Whammo Lion. So I loved Captain Whammo. And he would do crazy bits and jokes and stuff. And he played, you know, FM rock at the time and popular stuff. So I used to call him all the time because he would be like, call up a Whammo line and tell a joke. So I would call up and tell jokes. So, the apple doesn't fall very far from the tree.
Sure.
And I won all the time. Like, I would beat whoever, like, they would have, like, two or three people come in, two or three other probably kids, younger people. And I would win all the time. So I would win, like... You know, they would go, come on, yeah, man, Nikki wins, yeah. You know, so I would win all the time. And you go down to the radio station down in the loop where the offices were, and I would win, and I'd come in and go, oh, I won on the Whammo line. And they're like, oh, yeah, all right, hang on. You know, so like whoever the receptionist or whatever is in the office, yeah, all right, what, you did what? Yeah, I won on the Whammo line, Captain Whammo. Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. So they would go in the back and come out with a bunch of albums that were cutouts. You know, like they had the corners cut off of them already.
Right,
they were
right.
Cheap. They were, you know, they were mostly terrible. And they were like, pick three records out of there. Congratulations. You know, they didn't care what was going on.
That used to be my job.
Yeah.
When I worked at iHeart.
So, yeah.
We would run the prize closet over at 233, and my God.
Yeah. No, I mean, so they would give me crappy cutout records, and I'd still call in and win and go down and get them. And, you know, take the L down.
Did they ever recognize you? Or like, oh, yeah.
No, I don't think they had the same rules as they do now. I don't think there was like a 6 month or whatever, 6 week rule, whatever it is now. Yeah. We have that promo that we play all the time. Six months for over $600 or something. So I can't remember. But anyway, I don't think they had those rules. It was the 70s. It was like, yeah, go ahead. It's the cutout bin, kid. Just take some crap and leave. Leave us alone. We're in the radio business, please. We've got enough problems.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. I have to drink. I have to deal with Captain Whammo every day. So anyway, this guy's name was Jim Channel, Captain Whammo. Real guy. Loved him. Listened to him all the time, every night. So I did an imitation of him pretty regularly on my show when I first started, you know, working on a regular basis. I'd be like, yeah, man, Captain Whammo, yeah! And he was a real dude. His mom listens to the show, or at least listened about 20 years ago. I come into work one night. There's a voicemail on my machine at work here, my phone. And it's like, hey, Nick, man, this is Captain Whammo, Jim Channel, man. How's it going? And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, because that voice was, you can't replicate that voice. And it was really Captain Whammo. So I had him on the show, and I interviewed him, Captain and he made Whammo. Me do a Captain Whammo impression. I was really nervous, and I was like, yeah, man, Captain Whammo on the Whammo line. He's like, man, that's good, Nick. That's real good. And he does, I don't know where he is now, but he was in Florida at that time. This is about 20 years ago, maybe 19 years ago. And he was doing Christian radio, which of course is weird because he did very risque material.
he's on there. Honk if you love Jesus.
Yeah.
So, the Whammo line.
On the Whammo, on the Whammo lion for God. So anyway. All right. So that's Captain Whammo. That's who he is. He's a radio legend. Look him up. I'm serious. Look him up online. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. More weird contests that you enter. Do you win? 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It seems to be lightening up a little bit in the rain department. It was coming down pretty hard about a half an hour ago, but it seems to be lightening up. So stay dry and stay safe. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. And that's 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything. Who requested the TLC?
That was Dino.
Dino requesting some TLC. All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. We've been talking about weird contests exist that we didn't know existed. Fingerboarding is still a thing. I wasn't aware of that. And then we have the blade sports, which I discovered that I need to watch this TV show hosted by Goldberg, Bill Goldberg. And now we're going to continue with some other weird contests that actually exist. And we want to hear from you people, you guys out there who have entered contests. They don't necessarily have to be weird, but are you a contest enterer? And do you have good luck? And what have you won in the past? And what kind of contests have you been a part of? 312-981-7200. Before the break and the news, I was talking about how I was kind of an expert at radio contests. You know, it'd be caller number, you know, maybe caller number 7, man, yeah! You know, that kind of thing. And I talked about how many prizes I won from Captain Whammo, who was a real guy. Now, you looked up Captain Whammo on, Tom, you did a little research and found some actual Captain Whammo audio?
That I did. This is between a period of about 2 years. It's cobbled together between 1975 and 1977.
That's about right.
Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah, I got a little bit of Captain Whammo here for you. Let's take a listen.
All right.
Okay, now when you go to school Monday, you're going to go to school Monday?
Mm-hmm.
Raise your hand and ask your teacher and tell him you want to learn everything you can about the great planet Jujube. Now remember that. That's Jujube. If she doesn't know about my planet, Jujube, call her a turkey. You start making. I want everybody in the class to go, gobble, 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 gobble. She'll get the message. What a turkey.
That's Captain Whammo. Yeah,
wow.
I forgot about Planet Jujube. Yeah, man, I'm from the planet Jujube. That was like his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Captain Whammo.
I mean, there's no FM rock radio like it.
I listen to him every night. He was on two different radio stations. I know he was on MET. He was on WMET, and that was in the late 70s, like around 77, 78. That's probably when I listened to him the most.
Was it WDHF?
Yeah, WDHF. He was on WDHF.
I think it transitioned. They changed names.
They changed to MET?
I think so.
MET was 95.5. That was MET. Or 95, because it wasn't digital back then.
Yeah, so it was WDHF was also 95.
Okay, so they changed to WMET.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense.
And now is it 95.5? That's WNUA, right?
Yeah.
Now it's big country.
Yeah. But that was before digital, because the loop was 98. Back in the heyday, back in the big heyday of the loop, you know, with the loop t-shirts and Steve Dahl, you know, Disco Demolition and all that stuff. Did you know I was at Disco Demolition?
Yeah, you told me about it.
That was 98 because it was pre-digital. Now, of course, you know, the loop was 97.9.
Mm-hmm. But that's so crazy. I've never known it as anything other than 98.
That's if you brought a disco record to Comiskey the night of Disco Demolition, you got in for 98 cents.
Oh.
You got in for 98 cents.
Nice.
Oh, and there was the weed smoke at Demolition.
A few lids get flipped there.
God. Boy, we got the hell out of there when the crap hit the fan. I went with my cousin and a couple of friends to Disco Demolition. When the insanity started, we were like, let's get the hell out of here. Because we were up in the upper deck, and we were able to look outside, and there were like hundreds and hundreds of people still trying to get in. Like, the place was packed. I mean, it was absolutely, completely packed. You know, Dave Hoekstra was there.
How am I not surprised?
I was on the left field side, I think, and he was on the right field side. We were, like, right across from each other in the upper deck. And, Hoekstra wrote a book with Steve about it.
Yeah.
With Stever. On the anniversary of Disco Demolition. It was completely insane. I mean, it was absolutely, completely insane. And we got the hell out of there, and it took us forever to get back home. So, but anyway, yeah, back in those days, no digital. So the MET was 95. MET man. Yeah, man, you did the Captain Wambo on 95 MET. Here's some fog hat. You know. So. Yeah, that was that. Those contests I was good at. And I always, you know, whenever I talk about like radio contests, which we're going to do later, by the way,
We're
going to have a radio contest later. We're going to have Know Your Onion. That's when Tom will pull out some news headlines and you have to decide whether they're real or onion. And of course, The Onion, for those people who might not know, satirical comedy newspaper that makes up fake news. And some of the headlines, though, in the real news world now are just so completely insane and weird, and the news has gotten weird and the world has gotten insane, that it's very difficult to tell the difference between a real headline and an onion headline. So we'll get a couple of contestants on. We'll ask you to tell if it's a real headline or an onion headline, and if you get the majority out of five, you win a great prize. So there's a radio contest that we're going to be doing. Anyway, if you want to jump in here, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And we're talking about weird contests and just in general. Did you enter any contests maybe when you were younger or if you did, or if you enter contests a lot? Yeah. So let's see. We're getting some texts here. 262 area code said, I won records, i.e. Kenny Loggins. That was the kind of stuff that I won, too. Bag of like Kenny Loggins records. 815 area code. Does anyone ever win the free mini bike from Razzle's Candy or Gum contest? I sent over 200 empty bags of Razzle's, explaining that I thought Razzle's was a gum and not a candy in 30 words or less, and I bet nobody won that contest. Do you remember it? No, I don't remember that at all. But there were similar contests, especially aimed at kids. 269 area code says, I won a 5-disc Vincent Price DVD set from your show in 2007 from the guy who comes in and talk movies . It was the best win ever. That would be Jeff Tuckman. Jeff Tuckman joins us once a month to talk about DVDs and Blu-ray and tech and try to help you guys remember the names of movies and stuff like that. He comes in once a month. We just had him on a couple of weeks ago, and he still brings in great gifts, great prizes. We gave away a seven movie collection of Audrey Hepburn. But yeah, that was it's a 5-disc Vincent Price DVD set that you won from our show.
Yeah,
stay tuned. He'll be back. Jeff Tuckman will be back, and he'll be bearing gifts as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. How about this pizza dough spinning? Another weird contest that we're talking about from this article at Cracked. People who think the least exciting part of pizza is getting to eat it. Now, I've seen the pizza dough spinning contests, and I think they're pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it's an amazing skill.
I think it's pretty cool. I know that Crack's going to be a little snarky about this, but I think it's pretty great, and these guys are pretty amazing. I love the fact that they practice with towels.
Just because it's like a similar weight,
feel, and size. Have you ever been to a restaurant where a chef prepared pizza dough with far more panache than was strictly necessary, prompting you to think, instead of getting to eat pizza at the end of this display, I would rather continue to observe this skill set as a structured on a structured professional level? Well, then you're weird. But you're also the audience for the World Pizza Championship, which is somehow not a group of fat, sweaty guys straining to out-devour one another in a grimy warehouse. That man is attempting to land a sick pizza spinning trick and earn himself the title of the world's greatest pizza acrobat, which we somehow did not make up. This culinary art form is most popular in Pizza Crazy Italy and Gimmick Crazy Las Vegas, the latter of which hosts the annual International Pizza Expo and World Pizza Games. As the popularity of pizza tossing has somehow increased, pizza acrobats have had to resort to flashier, more outlandish trickery to wow judges, who award points for creativity, dexterity, difficulty, drops, and transitions. Some competitors twirl dough while juggling a soccer ball, boldly flirting with the danger of becoming the ultimate Italian stereotype. Others prepare their pizza while blindfolded, just like Pizza Hut's done for decades. Whoa, what's... Hold on a minute. Hold it. All right.
It's like they employ comedians over there.
Yeah. What does the winning routine look like? Fire up your bong and watch. So there was a video attached to the article. This is fun. This is very funny. It's very amusingly written. But I think the pizza toss stuff is. I think the pizza dough toss is cool. I like watching it. I think it's really amazing what these guys can do. Winners receive $1,000, and they can increase that amount by winning the competition's other much less flamboyant events like spreading dough or folding boxes. If you want to disappoint your parents by becoming a professional pizza acrobat, the most efficient way to train is through silicone pseudo dough created by only the saddest scientists who have seen their careers go the most astray. You can support the U.S. pizza team, but there's also a very stylish Italian version, and you have to pay a higher price for that fine European craftsmanship. Somehow it costs about 500 times the dime's worth of flour that it's molded on. A good oval of fake dough will set you back $50. Although if anyone finds it in your house, you'll have to lie and tell them. Oh, okay. I can't go there. They just went R-rated.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go there on that. But anyway, so they're selling this fake dough. But like I said, you know, I see people they dampen a towel. They do a damp towel, so you don't have to spend $50 on fake dough.
These
to
Italians.
Practice, they're just trying to make money off of you.
Yeah.
So no, you don't have to buy the $50 worth of fake dough. Just dampen a towel and use that, a towel that would be a similarly sized as a pizza, like a large pizza.
Well, I mean, let's not take the possibility out. We could capitalize on this.
How
the Nick DiGilio official pizza towel?
Oh. Wow.
Sell to pizza tossers all around the city.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we'd sell one. yeah. Now I used to cook a lot. I don't very much anymore since I live by myself. I used to cook every when I was married. My wife, I cooked every night because she worked during the day and I worked at night. So I cooked every night. So. I'm a pretty good cook. I will say that. and I've made pizza from scratch. And I can't do the dough thing. I've tried, made it, you know, dropping dough all over the place, and I can't do it. I tried to do it, I can't do it. And I'm a lefty too, so that probably makes it even worse. But I know it's not easy. And to see what these guys do, I think it's pretty cool. I like watching that. So, and I've actually watched those championships. I'm not.
Are they on ESPN or something?
Yeah, I guess ESPN. So I'm not really sure what channel they're on. But I've seen these competitions, and I think they're very entertaining. That's
super cool.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. And we got a couple of more weird contests from crack.com's article to talk about. And then if you want to jump in on your contests, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. The Sox trade swings with the best in the AL West. Watch the White Sox head to Texas and bring the Astros back down to earth. That's tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
The great Doc Emmerich just won another Emmy. Hey, where's mine?
I know nothing.
We'll be on to talk about that and the Stanley Cup Finals at 9:10.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
There's an amazing supper club in Wisconsin Dells, Ish Nala. Nestled among the pines and perched above the sandstone bluffs of Mirror Lake. The beauty, the history, the service, the food, the fun. Hi, this is Bob Prosser, owner of Ishnala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells. I have been a part of Ishnala for 30 years, and I am so proud to continue the tradition that began in 1953. Why not enjoy a brandy old-fashioned in one of our bars, each with a spectacular view overlooking Mirror Lake, or just relax before or after dinner on one of our outdoor decks? Our Ishnala chefs have prepared your favorites, 24-ounce ribeye, cold water lobster tails, North Atlantic salmon, and of course, Ishnala's roast duck. Thank you for making Ishnala Wisconsin's favorite supper club, where the only thing we overlook is Mirror Lake. I'm Bob Prosser, and I want to serve you.
Hi, Barry Sterner, founder of your number one home mortgage company, Townstone Financial. Want to close your loan quickly? Want to work with a company with the newest technologies in the mortgage business and get all this with great rates and low closing costs? Then look no further. The answer is Townstone.com. What else does Townstone currently have? How about the low interest rate home ready program and Home Possible for home purchases that come with free appraisals? We are also obtaining appraisal waivers on many types of refinances and purchases for conventional loans, which will save you over $450 in closing costs. Don't want to find your bank statements or pay stubs? Well, with our new technology, we can obtain these in many cases without you lifting a finger. Remember, it doesn't matter if you're searching for a jumbo mortgage, FHA, VA, or even a reverse mortgage. I guarantee no one is going to beat Townstone's interest rates and low closing costs, and I own the company. So give us a call now at 312-896-2110, because nobody values your home purchase and refinance business more than Townstone.com. That's TOWNSTONE.com.
Townstone Financial is licensed in Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida. NMLS 136639. www.nmls.com. ConsumerAccess.org, equal housing lender.
I would rather be there where you haven't got a care, and you're better off dead. Though it doesn't seem fair.
Welcome back, everybody. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Yeah, man, Wildcard Wednesday. As one artist, any song, any artist, anything. Who requested that?
That was Squat.
Squat. And who was that?
It's Harry Nilsson.
Oh, Harry Nilsson. That's right.
We've actually played this on the show before.
Yeah. I always forget that song. There you go. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And remember, we do have our own radio contest coming up, and that is Know Your Onion, where you have to... decide whether or not a newspaper headline that Tom will read to you is real or from The Onion, the satirical fake newspaper. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. All right, we're talking about real-life crazy contests that do really exist. And we're also talking to you about the contests that you have entered or won. How about this next one? Pea shooting for people who fancy themselves marksmen over very short distances, actually. As their empire has shrunk dramatically, the English have had to find ways to amuse themselves on their tiny island. Jeez. Besides soccer hooliganism, they have come up with pea shooting. People line up and shoot dry peas from a straw to a putty-coated target 12 yards away. The best of the best compete in the World Championship, which has been held annually for almost 50 years in the village of Witcham. Many shooters are simply out to enjoy a lovely afternoon in the drizzling rain with their families. Maybe they've had a couple of beers and incite a little hooliganism. But some competitors take pea shooting very seriously, really seriously. The pros debate on how hard to blow and how much saliva to apply, but while the fans debate how much to observe before they get bored and knock off to the pub. But like any sport, the world of pea shooting is not without controversy. The introduction of the modern tech like gyroscopes, recoil handles, and laser sights has opened a schism wherein traditionalists yearn for the simpler days, while progressives contend that enhancements are the natural evolution of the sport. It's like the argument over whether the designated hitter rule, yet somehow it's even more boring. Either way, we assume that it's only a matter of time until pea shooting is combined with fingerboarding to create the world's least impressive biathlon. Now, you've been to the UK.
A handful of times.
Yeah. Have you ever participated in pea shooting?
Never participated, but I've watched it happen, and it's super boring.
Yeah, I would imagine.
It's like really lame, and they tried to convince me that this was going to be a cool thing, and luckily I was over the age of 18, and there was a pub nearby.
I've seen video of it. And I was sort of baffled by the whole thing.
I mean, it's fun. It's kind of like shooting spitballs a little bit.
Yeah.
But you're not hitting people. Mm-hmm. So it loses its luster.
How about finger wrestling? Pulling someone's finger to the extreme. Finger heckling dates back to the 17th century when burly Alpine men pulled each other's fingers to settle disputes. Nobody wants to pull another person's finger. That's always a bad thing. Especially your uncle. You don't want to pull your uncle's finger. You're going to hear a funny sound and you're going to smell a funny smell. That's what's going to happen. The rules are simple. Hook your finger through a leather loop pull, and don't let the other guy shatter your extremely into a million pieces. Bavarian attire is absolutely mandatory. 5 major championships are held each year, with the winners earning pride, early onset arthritis, and extra helping of Schnitzer-Schnauzel. Not to mention the ability to flip only one of the mightiest of birds. Skinnings, dislocated joints, and torn tendons are regular occurrences, so wrestlers devise arduous training regimens to steal their usually middle digit. Some hang from hooks or do finger pull-ups, while others pump weights with their single finger curls, or pull against homemade contraptions with over 100 pounds of resistance. This is insane. Has someone prepped for a dramatic comeback by lifting hocks of meat by their finger in a cold freezer? Well, there's a little Rocky reference for you. It's practically a national sport in parts of Germany and Austria. There are monuments dedicated to it. Paintings and photographs have captured the competition over the centuries, because mountain people will literally take any challenge, any occasion to don their finest lederhosen and get rowdy on beer. It's a fiercely competitive sport. Okay. Finger wrestling. That is completely insane. So those are all real. All those contests that we just described to you are absolutely real. And you can read the entire article on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. Bakery guy from the 773 area code sends in a text. You can too at 312-981-7200. During the early 2000s, I worked with a guy who won many prizes on radio call-ins. The best was when he was qualified to win a Miata convertible. He went to the drawing, got in line to select a key to start the car. His favorite number was 8. A guy cut in front of him and took 8. He took 9. The guy tried 8. It didn't start. He tried 9, and then it started. He then turned to the guy and thanked him for cutting in line and taking 8. What are the odds of that happening? So, all right. Great story. But still, the Sammy Davis Jr. story tops all of them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You ever seen a caber toss before?
A caber toss?
Yeah. You know what that is? It's when the Scots are throwing telephone poles.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, caber toss. Yeah. Those are always fun.
Yeah. Weird.
Couldn't win one of those.
UK is weird, man. It's a weird area of the world. I've never been there. Been to Ireland, but I've never been to the UK.
Never been to the UK?
No.
Oh.
Been to Ireland. Closest I've gotten is Belfast. This is northern Ireland. Just the closest.
That's close enough.
All right, we're going to take a break, and the news is coming up, and then we got some really sort of weird and disturbing sound. Weird stuff is the theme, I guess, this
we're
morning
going
on
weird
the show.
Today.
Yeah, weird Wednesday. Yeah. All right. Here comes the news after this. I don't appreciate the sentiment of this song at all right now. It's been raining for 9 years now. And I've got the forecast, which I will be reading in about 10 minutes. Every single day into through Sunday, rain is in the forecast. It's miserable. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock, Wildcard Wednesday. You be Wildcard Wednesday. We've had a lot of Clapton this week. What's going on with all the Clapton?
I don't know. He's on the mind.
All right. Who requested that?
That was Scott from Streamwood.
Scott from Streamwood. All right. Don't let it rain. Who will stop the rain? Maybe if we can play a little Creedence.
But they're also, have you ever seen the rain?
Have you ever seen the rain? Who will stop the rain? Yeah.
A lot of rain.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. So, this is from Mental Floss, right, Tom?
Yes, sir.
And you discovered this.
I did, and it freaked me out.
Well, we're going to freak some people out. You know, it's 3:30 in the morning. It's around 3:30 in the morning. That's a good time to start freaking people out.
Yeah.
Now, here's the explanation. This is from Mental Floss. And you actually have the audio of these weird sounds.
Yes, I do have some of the audio.
So these are natural sounds that the earth makes.
Yes. One of them is an animal, but we'll get to that one. It's actually a pretty famous one.
Okay. So here's what we got, the introduction. Earth is its own frontier of intrigue and unexplainable phenomena. From mysterious bloops to baffling sonic booms to puzzling hums, our planet rings with unexplained sounds. So here are a few that continue to completely confound scientists. Now, how many of these do we have? Because there's 9 of them here.
Yes, there are 9.
Oh,
we
have all 9. Total.
Yeah, we got all 9.
Okay, good. So we get to. I'll explain what it is, what it's called, what it is, the explanation here, and then we'll listen to it. And if we need to listen to it a couple times just to go, huh?
Yeah.
We'll do that. So these are real. Real, real strange sounds. Nobody can explain them. This one's called the upsweep. The upsweep. Upsweep is an unidentified sound that exists at least since the Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory began its recordings. SOSUS, an underwater sound surveillance system with listening stations around the world. And this was that's when they started it in 1991. The sound consists of a long train of narrow band upsweeping sounds of several seconds duration each, the laboratory reports. The source location is difficult to identify, but it's in the Pacific, around the halfway point between Australia and South America. Upsweep changes with the seasons, becoming loudest in spring and autumn, though it's not clear why. But the leading theory is that it's related somehow to volcanic activity. So this was recorded by the Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory using the underwater sound surveillance system, and this is called upsweep. What do we got this? Oh my God.
Right? It's coming out of the ocean.
Oh, man. Wow. That was really weird.
I was half expecting a ch ch ch.
Oh man, that was very, very strange. That was very, very strange. Relatively unexplained why that noise is being made underwater in the ocean. Wow. God, I was half expecting an hysterical Toni Collette to show up at any moment.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Jeez.
I think I initially found this article in the middle of a night on like a Friday into Saturday because I'm so used to being up at this time. I was like, oh, I'm not sleeping today.
So weird. That's the upsweep. All right. These are natural, we guess. All right. The next one is called The Whistle. The Whistle. It says here, The Whistle was recorded on July 7th, 1997. With only one hydrophone, the underwater microphones used by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the NOAA. The location is unknown, and limited information has made it difficult to speculate the source. But they recorded it. Again, this is underwater microphones from the NOAA recorded this. This is called The Whistle.
That one's a little bit more difficult to hear. It's at a slightly higher frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going swimming anymore. That's no. that's for certain. The Whistle. All right. How about this? Bloop. That was my radio name in college. Yeah, man, Bloop. Bloop is the big kahuna in unexplained sounds. Oh, here we go. That's fantastic. Bloop. In 1997, a big year for auditory ocean mysteries, an extremely powerful ultra-low frequency sound was detected at various listening stations of miles apart and traced to somewhere west of the southern tip of South America. Sound only lasted about a minute and was heard repeatedly over the summer, but then not since. Bloop is generally believed to be the sound of a massive ice quake, but scientists haven't totally ruled out the possibility that the sound originated from something organic. That's where things get eerie. If an animal is the source of bloop, it would have to be larger than a blue whale. The most fanciful theories of all stems from the fact that Bloop's location is somewhere close to author H.P. Lovecraft. Now, come on now.
Yep.
Oh, man. Of author H.P. Lovecraft's fictional sunken city of Ra'lyal, where the creature known as the... Well, how do we pronounce this?
I say Cthulhu.
Yeah, that's what I say, too. Cthulhu lies dead but dreaming. Cthulhu can best be described as part man, dragon, octopus, which seems like a likely source for any ocean's greatest oral anomaly. So this could be the Cthulhu from H.P. Lovecraft's writings. This is just ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. So this is Bloop. That's the Cthulhu right there, man.
Yeah. It's just what really fascinates me is that it would have to be larger than a blue whale.
No, seriously, that's insane. That's insane.
And it's scary to think about because there's so much we don't know about what's down there.
I just can't believe that the location is somewhere close to where the fictional city that H.P. Lovecraft wrote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's just too weird. All right, let's one more before we break for the weather here. These are actual natural sounds that are unexplained and weird and scary. This one's called Julia. Julia. Julia was recorded on March 1st, 1999, lasted for roughly 15 seconds, was loud enough to be heard by the entire equatorial Pacific Ocean hydrophone array. An Antarctic iceberg Run Aground is the leading suspect for its source, but they're not sure. So this, why did they name it Julia?
I think when you hear it, you might get it. That's at least where I think they got it from.
All right.
How it sounds.
Here we go. Okay, that's weird. That's way, way weird.
It sounds like a voice.
It does. March 1st, only one time, March 1st, 1999, it lasted for 15 seconds. And it was it was loud enough for the entire hydrophone array to pick it up. And I can understand because it sounds like Julia.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. This stuff's freaking me out. Let's take a break for the weather. I can do the weather really quick. It's going to suck because it's going to rain for the next 5 months. There's your weather. For today, windy, much warmer, and more humid by the afternoon, high in the lower 80s, and then showers and thunderstorms likely overnight. Tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s to the lower 80s, clouding up at night with a good chance of showers and thunderstorms. Friday, showers and thunderstorms early and a chance again later in the afternoon and overnight. The temps will warm up to the lower 80s. Saturday, highs from 70s to low 80s, scattered thunderstorms. Focus on a week as a weak front moves into the area. Sunday, highs in the 60s, cooler at the lakefront. Thunderstorms possible at any time, but best chance overnight. Currently, it's 50 degrees at O'Hare. It's 51 at Midway, 51 at the lakefront. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, more unsettling and weird and unexplained natural earth sounds from under the water and elsewhere. Weird, wild stuff. All right, we'll be right back.
Just got your message, baby. It's a sight to see you fade away.
What in the world is this feeling? Catch your breath and leave me reeling.
It'll get you in the end. It's God's revenge. Oh, I know I should come clean.
But I love this song. And I'm blanking on. I'm blanking on who sings it. It's not.
Tell me why. I'm digging your scene.
This work is high. It's not. Man, I love that song. Then I bought the album. The rest of the album wasn't very good. That's not Swing Out Sister, is it? No.
No.
It's a dude.
Is it a band?
It's a dude.
It is a band.
It's a band. No, I know it's a dude singing. Oh, man. You're going to tell me.
It's the Blow Monkeys.
The Blow Monkeys. That's right. The Blow Monkeys. That's right. And and I bought their first album, The Blow Monkeys, with that song on it. And I think there's only like one other pretty good song on there. But I love that song. Yeah, The Blow Monkeys. How can I forget about The Blow Monkeys?
I don't know.
Who requested The Blow Monkeys?
Oh, it's our good pal, Ike.
Ike. That's 80s, man. That's
very 80s.
That was a big. That song was actually a big hit.
Yeah, and it's from that era where every band wanted to dress like it was the 50s.
My guess is that was either 86 or 87. That would be my guess. Right around that time period. Yeah, the Blow Monkeys.
Great band name.
The greatest names of band ever. Why didn't they? Swing Out Sister had a female lead singer. Swing Out Sister. They were kind of a one-hit wonder, too, right around that time period, and had that polished, weird 80s production sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Now, that unexplained audio that we just heard was the Blow Monkeys. The other stuff we're listening to are actual earth sounds that were recorded, but no one can explain them, and some of them have been real creepy. So the next one that we have here, these are actual sounds that were recorded. This is called, they call this Slow Down. Slow Down was first recorded on May 19th, 1997, and also credited to an iceberg running aground, though some people insist that it's a giant squid. Oh, my God. The sound lasting about 7 minutes, we're not going to listen to the whole 7 minutes of it.
No.
Gradually decreases in frequency, hence the name slow down. Like upsweep, the sound has been heard periodically since it was initially detected.
It's out there.
It's still out there. But this is slow down. Could be a giant squid. Here we go. See, again, weird, man.
Well, especially when that low hum comes in.
Just like
20, 30 seconds in. Oh, man. What is it? That's what I don't really believe the iceberg thing.
No. Because
if it's been heard periodically,
yeah,
maybe it's just an iceberg moving real slow. They're not exactly the quickest of Earth's creations, but...
I'm going with giant killer monster.
Team giant squid.
Yeah. All right, next is the hum. The hum has been recorded on several occasions, mostly during the last 50 years or so. In these cases, there have been reports of a relentless, troubling low-frequency humming noise that can only be heard by a certain portion of the population. It's difficult to pinpoint when instances of the hum began, but it's been well-documented since the 1970s, and since then, cases have popped up all over the world, from Ontario to New Mexico, to England, to Scotland, to New Zealand. In most instances, the affected group only makes up around 2% of the population. So only 2% of people can hear this? But for those individuals, the hum is largely inescapable and impossible to track. Those affected report having never heard noises before and say the hum is generally heard indoors and becomes louder at night. It's also most common in rural and suburban areas among people between the ages of 55 and 70. The scientists have long investigated the cause of this drone, occasionally tracing it to industrial equipment emitting particular frequencies. But for the most part, though, the sound has left the world completely puzzled. The list of other possible culprits is long and wide-ranging. Wireless communication devices, power or gas lines, electromagnetic radiation, radio waves, or earth tremors are all suspects. But the hum appears and disappears, and because that may cause to vary, and will cause to vary from case to case, the phenomenon still baffles researchers. At this point, a few things are clear. The hum is real and unlikely byproduct of something in the 21st century living. Okay, it's the Mothman.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the Mothman.
He's warning us.
All right, so this is the hum. Let me tell you something right now. If I walked out on my back porch and I heard that, I'd move.
Yeah. It's like the horns of Jericho, man.
That's unbelievable. That is so creepy. That's the Mothman. That's the Mothman. Richard Gere heard that, called Laura Linney and said, hey. All right, how about this one? Skyquakes. Skyquakes, or unexplained sonic booms, have been heard around the world for the last 200 years or so, usually near bodies of water. These head scratchers have been reported in the Ganges in India, the East Coast, and the Finger Lakes of the U.S., near the North Sea, in Australia, Japan, Italy. The sound, which has been described as mimicking massive thunder or cannon fire, has been chalked up to everything from meteors entering the atmosphere to gas escaping from vents in the Earth's surface, or gas exploding after being trapped underwater as resulting of biological decay. To earthquakes, military aircraft, underwater caves collapsing, or even a byproduct of the solar and or earth-based magnetic activity. Skyquakes.
I will say this is the one that really got me.
This is the one that freaked you out the most?
Really freaked me out. And the clip we'll hear here is from New Orleans.
New Orleans, all right.
Thank you. On Sunday, it was.
Wow.
Yeah. That's some Godzilla stuff.
I was going to say, that was kaiju, man. Of course, it just could have been a drunk. It was New Orleans. No, that's creepy as hell.
It's very weird.
That's really, that's very called the Skyquake. That, and it's been, it's heard everywhere. That was New Orleans. It's been in India, Finger Lakes in the U.S. It's in the North Sea, Australia, Japan, Italy. That's just really, really weird. All right. We got two more. We'll do them right after we break for the news. We got two more of these unexplained, extremely weird sounds that have been popping up all over the earth. Wow, that was creepy.
All right.
We'll take a break here on 720 WGN. We got the news coming up next. We'll wrap up the sound stuff, too, and then we'll talk about some food that you've been preparing wrong, and we will have a round of Know Your Onion. That's all coming up right here on 720 WGN. Yeah, man. All right, welcome back. How's everybody doing this morning? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. And it's Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah! And we've been playing requests, any artist, any song, anything. Who requested that?
That was Steve.
Steve. Okay. All right, Steve. Welcome back. We are listening to some really strange actual sounds that emit from Earth but can't be explained. And some of them are really weird, and there's what they described as mysterious bloops, baffling sonic booms, puzzling hums, unexplained sounds that confound scientists, and most of them are freaking everybody out. The last one we played before the break in the news was the Skyquakes, which have been heard in India, the East Coast, in the Finger Lakes in the U.S., near the North Sea, Australia, Japan, Italy. And it's a sound that's been described as mimicking a massive thunder or cannon fire. And they've had all kinds of explanations for it, but they still don't really know what it is. And it's freaky. And so somebody actually called in and requested that they wanted to hear the Skyquakes again.
Yeah, they wanted to get a real good listen to it.
Okay, if that's what you want to hear at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's fine by me. All right, these are the sky. These are some skyquakes, natural.
On Sunday, it was.
See, that's just wrong.
That last loud noise was my stomach. I was joking. I had the microphone up. Sorry about that.
Vic.
Yeah, Vic's hungry for some. He needs some breakfast soon.
What time's that Dunkin' open up?
Oh, don't start.
Oh, man. That's just creepy, man. Creepy. So those are Skyquakes. We got a couple more of these to hear. By the way, coming up is the... we're going to do a Know Your Onion. So you got to know your onion. And you're going to have to guess while Tom reads a news headline. You have to guess whether it's a real headline or from The Onion. And if you get the majority of those correct, you get a nice prize. But nobody goes home empty-handed.
No, everyone's a winner.
That's right. All right, here's the next one. UVB-76. UVB-76. Also known as the buzzer. It's been showing up on shortwave radios for decades. It broadcasts at 4625 after the repeating buzzing noises. A voice occasionally reads numbers and names in Russian. The source and purpose has never been determined. So this has been showing up on shortwave radios, and nobody really knows where it comes from or what it means. So here we go.
Thank you.
Okay. That's just weird. A voice occasionally, then after that, a voice occasionally reads numbers and names in Russian. That's what they say. All right. It's Putin.
Yeah, he's just messing around on the ham radio.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
That's awesome.
What am I going to do today?
Is that how they interfered with our elections? Is that how they did it with the UVB-76? All right, and then this is the last one, and it's the 52 Hertz whale. This animal, also known as the loneliest whale in the loneliest whale in the world. I didn't know they classified whales by loneliness. I wasn't aware of that.
I'm glad to know that I'm not the one. I'm not the loneliest whale.
Wow. The loneliest whale in the world calls at a highly unusual 52 hertz, well above normal frequency. Scientists have been listening to 52 hertz for decades, and recently filmmakers raised $400,000 on Kickstarter to seek the mammal out. It should be noted that the fundraiser reached its goal through the help of Leonardo DiCaprio, who is another mysterious beast who finds this interesting. So it's the 52 hertz whale. All right, here we go.
Now, I will, a little disclaimer here. A lot of people may not be able to hear it because it comes, I know it says a high frequency, but it sounds to us like you need a subwoofer to get, or headphones.
I see. Cause we have headphones on when we're in a radio station.
We're definitely going to, we'll hear it.
Yeah.
But, you folks may not hear it at home, but you can find it's all over the internet. You can find this, clip of audio pretty much anywhere. So.
All right. Yeah, that sounded very lonely.
Yeah. real upper on this.
This stuff is really weird, man. Yeah, so a lot of this stuff is creepy. And I'm convinced that the that two of these things, at least two of these things, are the Mothman. That's what I'm convinced.
Well, you know, last summer I remember being here. I'd be here late at night, and it was all Mothman.
Yeah?
Yeah, there was a lot of Mothman sightings in Chicago, I want to say last summer, perhaps the summer before.
I remember a rash of Mothman sightings.
It was in the Reader.
Yeah.
People were writing songs about it.
Yeah. My ex-wife was obsessed with Mothman stuff. And she still maintains that my ex-wife is a big horror movie fan, loves horror movies. One of the reasons why we got together was because first time I went to her apartment, I looked at her DVD collection. She had 3 Fulci movies in her DVD collection. And I went, oh, well, this is a go. Ooh,
yeah.
So, she loves all the horror movies, but she still maintains that the scariest movie she's ever seen is The Mothman Prophecies. It's the movie that freaked her out the most of any movie she's ever seen. And like I said, she has 3 Fulci movies in her collection, you know, but she completely freaked out by that movie. It's a really, and it's based on some sort of, you know,
yeah,
urban legend reality that's based in reality of some kind. Mm. And people have freaked out over seeing this Mothman, seeing these visions and hearing these things of the Mothman.
Well, it's just the possibility of it, you know?
Yeah.
As much as we know about this world, even with, as if any of these sounds can prove that, there's things that we just don't know.
Yeah.
It's like we can't prove anything about it. Sure, is it an iceberg? Maybe. Is it a giant squid? Who knows?
Who knows? Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. And if you want to check out the entire article with the sounds located at Mental Floss, we have it linked up on our Facebook page. So I put it up on the Facebook page for people who are interested in reading more about these mysterious and weird sounds that are confounding scientists worldwide. So we have it on our Facebook page, which is one of the reasons why you should follow us and like us on Facebook immediately. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. We're here till 5 a.m. It is Wednesday morning, and that means we've had some Wild Card Wednesday requests all morning. You're being Wild Card Wednesday. And who requested that?
That was Sam.
Sam. Thank you, Sam. Little Dick Dale. All right. A couple quick texts, and we're going to jump into this. Foods that you have been cooking wrong this entire time. Think you've been cooking them right, but actually you've been cooking them wrong. We all have. So, yeah. But this is a couple of texts that came in about the sounds that we were playing. And it is 630 area code says, this is Joliet Mike says, this is by far some of the creepiest stuff that I have ever heard on WGN radio. Yeah, it was pretty creepy. 269 area code says, the one with Russia is a Cold War numbers station meant to relay messages to spies.
Okay. Maybe it's a McDonald's order.
Yeah. So, here's what it says. Foods that we've been cooking wrong this entire time. No matter your culinary skill, mistakes in the kitchen are unavoidable, whether you're a novice cook just starting down the path of fire and flavor, or a master chef with a knife collection worth thousands. Cooking is an art of, and an accumulation of skills, but no matter how much experience one has, you never stop learning how to cook. There are, however, a few foods that people tend to cook incorrectly, or at least not in the very best way possible. So these are foods that we've been cooking wrong. Bacon. Almost everyone loves bacon, but you're cooking it, but are you cooking it correctly and allowing it to live up to its fullest and most delicious potential? Like so many things, there seems to be a million different ways to cook bacon properly, but which is the best? One method that some people use, that some people swear by, uses water. That's right, water. In the pan as the bacon cooks and promises an end result of the bacon being perfectly crisp and evenly rendered fat with no disappointingly undercooked areas. If cooking bacon in water is too outlandish for your tastes and you're in search for a method that assures your bacon will cook evenly and effortlessly, then take a tip from professional kitchens and use the oven rather than the stove. Simply lay out the bacon in a single layer on a wire rack over a foil-lined bake tray so that you don't make a mess, and cook the bacon in a very hot oven, preheat it to 400 degrees for about 15 minutes or until the bacon reaches the preferred level of doneness. I have prepared bacon in the oven before. Never used water though.
Yeah, I like oven bacon's good.
No, it's real good.
Very good.
And it does come out even. It does come out good. And it's a lot less messy like on the stovetop, cuz you got bacon grease flying all over the place and you're splattering your arms and your face. How about this? Baked potatoes. Yes, you're making baked potatoes all wrong. That may seem like an outrageous accusation, but it's just a fact. You bake your potatoes all wrapped up in foil, and then you're simply not making the most delicious baked potato. Sure, the fluffy middle of the baked potato is fabulous, but if you're not enjoying the crispy, salty potato skin, slather it in butter, what's the point? To get the most out of your baked potatoes, preheat your oven to 425 degrees. While it's getting rip-roaringly hot, prep the potatoes. You want to use good baking spuds. Russets are ideal. Wash each potato, prick it all over with a fork, and then sprinkle it generously with kosher salt. That will make the potatoes taste delicious and yield an unbeatable crispy skin that will be the highlight of the whole potato experience. Bake the salt-covered potatoes as they are on a lined baking tray for about an hour, turning them over halfway through to ensure that the cooking is even. Then the skins will be dry and crispy. Well, you know what? That's how I make baked potatoes.
So, did you write this article?
No, I didn't write this article, but that's how I make baked potatoes. I'm not kidding. Boiled eggs. You know, eggs are a surprisingly difficult food to make. And it's a test, you know, like a lot of, you know, badass chefs say that one of the major tests of a good chef is to just make an omelet, like a plain omelet with nothing in it, just a plain omelet. And also just make eggs, because eggs are sometimes very, very difficult to make. Boiled eggs are a staple in many a household for a good reason. They're tasty, convenient, on-the-go snack. They're easy to make as long as you aren't making some of these small but mighty mistakes. Sure, you could just boil up some water, throw in a few eggs, and hope for the best. but to stick to some easy guidelines. First of all, know what kind of egg you're seeking to make, soft-boiled, jammy, or hard. Then take a few extra seconds to look up the cooking time if you're unsure of how long an egg takes to reach the desired stage of doneness. Typically, 6 minutes will yield a soft-boiled egg, 8 minutes a jammy egg, and 12 minutes will be a perfectly hard-boiled egg. When it comes to boiling, make sure the pot being used is large enough and that the water is actually in a rolling boil before dropping in the eggs. All done. Great. Now set it on simmer. The difference between a perfect egg and a disappointing one is literally a minute or two, so don't leave anything left to chance. Finally, if you aren't eating the eggs hot, make sure to cool them down once they are cooked in an ice bath to avoid those unsightly gray rings that end up around the yolk, which is true. I actually, when I make hard-boiled or soft-boiled eggs, hard-boiled eggs, I usually do the whole rolling boil thing. Get the rolling boil, let it boil for a little bit, and then I turn it off. I let it boil for a little while, then I turn it off and cover it. And I let that go for about 12 minutes or so. And then they always turn out perfect. But
now, I know this is just stupid lack of knowledge for me. What is a rolling boil versus a regular boil?
When it's really boiling, like it's
blowing the lid off.
Yeah.
Boiling.
It's like the water's actually rolling. It's boiling so it's just a really, really hot boil.
Yeah.
Like let it boil for a while. Even if some of the water evaporates a little bit, let it get to as hot as it can. A rolling boil is as hot a boil as you can get. Mm. So there's that. And I'll tell you what I make. I'll tell you what I make. What I'm badass at making? Poached eggs.
I love a good poached egg.
It's my favorite way to make an egg. It's my favorite way to eat eggs is poached. Without question, it's my favorite way. And I go to the Flashback Weekend every year, and I stay there all weekend. And my only indulgence is that I order room service while I'm there. The other indulgence is spending lots of money on horror stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but like at the hotel, like I don't take advantage of anything of that because I'm too busy. I'm not in the room for most of the weekend. I'm at the fest hosting things and doing Q&As and running around and buying stuff. But I always get room service, and I always get. I always order a poached egg with, maybe a different kind of side, I'll get ham one morning, I'll get bacon, but I order breakfast every morning, and I'm there from Thursday night through Sunday afternoon. So I have three breakfasts while I'm there. Friday morning, I have one. Saturday morning and Sunday morning, I have a breakfast. And inevitably, at least one or maybe two have overcooked my poached egg. Because the yolk's got to be runny. If it's not runny, it can be partially cooked, but it's got to be runny. I mean,
that's a poached egg.
That's a poached egg. I didn't want a hard boiled egg, but that happens. It happens pretty consistently. And I think some of it has to do with the fact that I don't know where they cook the stuff. I'm usually up on the eighth floor when I stay there, but keeping it under that. Under the metal lid.
Oh, that's probably gonna
and bringing it up and taking longer to bring it from like the basement kitchen up to the eighth floor. I think that time period, I think that's critical. So, anyway, but yeah, I can poach an egg. Let me tell you.
Can you poach a rhino?
Can you? No, can't poach a rhino. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up. After the news, we'll tell you a little bit more about some foods that you were incorrectly making, and then we've got another know your onion coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We're live. It's Wild Card Wednesday. You hear me, Wild Card Wednesday? Who requested the Booker T?
That was Jay.
Jay. All right, Jay. We're wrapping up this conversation that we're having about some foods that we're cooking wrong. And I want everybody to prepare to call in. Because if you call in, get through, you will be eligible to be a part of Know Your Onion. in which Tom will read news headlines to you, and you have to figure out whether they are real or from The Onion. The Onion is a satirical comedy newspaper website, and those are fake and from The Onion headlines. But news and the world is so strange right now that sometimes Onion headlines feel real, and sometimes real headlines feel Onion. If you can guess the majority of headlines correctly, you'll win a prize, and everybody's going to win. So we're going to have two contestants come on. We've been talking about the correct way to cook stuff, and 815 area code says, if you cook your bacon in the oven, you'll have no grease to cook your eggs. That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
I like doing that.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I guess I would prefer to do it in the oven because I don't like cleaning things. So there's less of a cleanup. All right. Here are some other things that we might be cooking wrong. Burgers. There's a lot that can go wrong with cooking burgers, from buying the wrong kind of meat to over-seasoning, overworking the mixture, and forming it incorrectly. And that's before you even begin cooking. Once the grill or cast iron pan is fired up and ready to sear, make sure you aren't fussing over the burgers and turning them every few minutes. You want to leave them and allow that tasty crust to form. Don't even think about pressing them with all your might. That's a sure way. That's a sure way to end up with a sad, dry, disappointing burger. That's absolutely true. You got to let that thing cook. You got to have patience. Step away. Step away. How about chicken breast? If you think chicken breast is boring and bland, chances are you're cooking it wrong. When handled correctly, chicken breast can be actually be delicious. First of all, most people overcook chicken breast, so knowing just how long to cook it is halfway to knowing the secret to a juicy, perfectly cooked chicken breast. Once you know everything there is to know about cooking time, start thinking about seasoning your chicken breast correctly. Generous seasoning is almost always the way to go from dealing with chicken. Don't be afraid of using salt, and if you want to be adventurous, why not try a quick brine? Garlic. When cooking with garlic, you're supposed to mince it into tiny pieces and then add it to hot oil, right? Nope. What you'll end up with is a pan full of hot oil and burnt garlic that will add nothing but a harsh acid taste to the rest of your dish. Instead, add garlic to a warm pan without preheating the oil and allow both to come up to temperature together. The garlic will soften and infuse the oil with its delightful garlicky aroma, and all will be right with the world. Don't wait for the garlic to be toasted or even brown in color. Instead, add your ingredients, whether it's tomatoes for sauce or something else, as soon as the garlic begins to brown around the edges. If the garlic is already brown all over, it's only going to continue cooking for the rest, and chances are it's going to taste burnt. Lasagna. Okay, now this is kind of a personal thing for everybody. I think everybody has their own way of making and preparing lasagna. This one might be rather divisive, but I insist you are probably cooking your lasagna all wrong. That can't be so, I hear you cry, but sadly it is. Are you using a mixture of ricotta, eggs, and Parmesan? Yes, well, that's all wrong. Instead, make a delicious bechamel, one of the French master sauces, and one that makes an unbeatable lasagna. It's creamy, rich, silky, and altogether luxurious, and once you try using a bechamel in your lasagna, you'll never go back to the stodgy ricotta mixture again. How about this? Mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes. Well, maybe you're not doing this wrong, but you are, according to Tyler Florence. The Food Network chef changed the mashed potato game when he announced how he chooses to cook his spuds directly in cream until they are cooked and ready to be mashed into perfect fluffiness. Into the cloud-like potatoes goes, you guessed it, the wonderful cream in which the potatoes were cooked. Cooking the potatoes in cream gives the resulting mash a delicate, minerally, and almost more potato-y flavor, which combined with a generous dose of butter sounds like it adds to be an unbeatable mashed potato. And I've never done that. I've seen Tyler Florence do that, though. I've seen him do it, but I've never actually done it. Pasta. Not using a large enough pot, adding olive oil to your water, and not reserving some of the precious starchy pasta water are all those, some of the wrong ways of your cooking pasta. Don't despair. With a few simple tips, you'll be churning out platters of pasta that rival most scrupulous Italian. The pasta water. Putting the pasta water, some of the pasta water into the sauce is a great idea. It works. And finally, scrambled eggs. Again, eggs come up. Honestly, scrambled eggs are a rather personal dish, right? Some people prefer soft eggs. Others prefer to hard scramble. Some add milk or cream. Others add nothing but a pinch of salt. At the end of the day, all scrambled eggs opinions are wild. But there are many, many episodes. There are many, many great ways to cook your scrambled eggs. Take it from Gordon Ramsay, Reed Drummond, and Alton Brown. They have some of the best scrambled eggs recipes of all time. So there you go. This article, by the way, if you want to read the entire article and see some of the stuff that's linked up to it, it's, again, on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. So like us and follow us now at facebook.com/NickDShow. So there you go. All right, do we have our first caller? Let's hear the intro.
To Know Your Onion.
Yeah, there it is. All right, we're going to have two contestants. We have our first one ready to go. And again, Tom is your host. Tom, oh, thank you and welcome. And this is where you have to know the difference between a real news headline and an onion headline. So let's get our first contestant in here, and Tom will read off some news headlines. Monique is in Oak Lawn. Hi, Monique.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good. Good morning. Are you familiar with The Onion?
I am. My brother sends me enough articles from The Onion on a daily basis.
Okay, good.
Oh, we
good,
got
good,
a ringer
good.
Here.
We got a good one here. So all you have to do is Tom will read you a news headline. You have to tell us whether you think it's real or it's onion, and then we'll let you know whether you get it correct. You can win some good stuff here. So you ready?
Yeah, ready.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Monique, let's go with this one. A candlelight vigil mourns closure of a Dearborn, Michigan Kroger. Is that real or is that The Onion?
I'm going to go with real.
Very good. That is real.
People are upset about a closing Kroger.
It's incredible. There it is. There's
there
a sound effect.
There you go. All right, so you got one. You got one right.
Okay, next up, 12-year-old boy cited for by police over a purple nurple.
Onion?
Ooh, that is unfortunately real.
That's real?
Yeah, it's from WTAJ in central Pennsylvania.
All places. All right.
All right.
Okay.
All right, let's get into a little bit of entertainment headlines. Relationship experts still no closer to discovering what Scarlett Johansson sees in Colin Jost. Is that real or is that The Onion?
Onion.
Oh, let's see. There it is. That is an Onion headline.
That is hilarious.
I also cannot figure that out.
That's hilarious.
I like Colin Jost, but holy cow.
Yeah. 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 All right. All you got to do is get one more right because we'll read a total of five and you just got to get a majority. So you've got two already.
All right.
Let's see if this is the one. Yes. All right. In sports, new MLB rules reduce number of mound conjugal visits. Pardon me. Let me say that one more time. New MLB rules reduce number of mound conjugal visits. Is that real or The Onion?
Onion.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good, Monique.
A conjugal visit to the mound? Of course that's The Onion.
I just really wanted to say it.
All right. Of course that's The Onion, unless we've got a very private baseball league out there somewhere that we don't want to know about. All right. Monique, nice job.
Ooh, I'm pretty jazzed.
Yeah, you got yourself...
Good way to start a Wednesday.
You got yourself some Lou Malnati's. It's always the best. Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is the home to Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations, which one of them is 900 feet from my front door, and I'm not kidding, or order online at loumalnati's.com. All right, awesome. Monique?
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on, okay?
All right.
Okay. Monique's going to hang on. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back after the break with a second caller. So if you want to get in there, call right now. We'll put you on hold, and then when we come back after the weather and the break, you'll be up next for Know Your Onion. So Know Your Onion, win some prizes, call us right now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. First person through, and if you know your onion, you win.
Gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman, gotta find a woman. He go down to the lake where all the girls would be swimming or washing clothes.
could look around and just reach in and grab one. Come here. Come here. He'd grab her by the hair. You can't do that today, fellas, because it might come off.
Can't do that today, fellas, because it might come off. I got a feeling my dad requested that song.
Yeah, that was a Mr. DiGilio special. That's right there.
My dad requesting a little Jimmy Castor bunch with Troglodyte. Gotta find a woman. Gotta find a woman. not shocked at all that my father would request that song.
No.
It's a great song, though. I love Jimmy Castor. Jimmy Castor rules. So there you go. That wraps up Wildcard Wednesday. You've been Wildcard Wednesday. We'll do it again next week. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Yeah, we are back. And here till 5. And we've got another round of Know Your Onion. I believe we have a contestant ready to go.
That we do.
This, again, is Tom reading news headlines. And you have to guess whether they're real or onion. And if you do that, if you get the majority of the 5, we will give you a good prize. Here is Patty, who's in Arlington Heights on WGN. Hi, Patty.
Hi, good morning.
Morning. Are you aware of the onion?
Yes.
Okay. So you just have to guess whether the news headline that Tom is reading you is real or from the onion when it makes it not real and comedy. So here we go. All right. Go ahead, Tom.
All right. Today we've got Ben Carson mixes up a real estate term and Oreo sandwich cookies. Is that a real headline or is that the onion?
It's an onion.
Well, let's see. No, that's a real headline.
Wait. That's a real headline?
Yes, it's from USA Today. Ben Carson, he mixed up the term REO, which is a housing term, a real estate term, with Oreo.
I swear, man. I don't even know right. What to make of what's happening right now. Okay. Ben Carson, oh my God, that's his department too. Did you know that he's in charge of that department? Are you aware of that?
Yep.
Okay, I just want to make sure people are aware he's in charge of that department. Okay, great. Oh God, sometimes I want to jump out of a window. I swear to God. All right, Patty, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Let's do another one here, also in politics. Trump demands investigation into whether Clinton's gave him a non-registry wedding gift in 2005. Is that real or is that the onion?
I think it's real.
Let's see. What is it?
That's the onion, although... Seems real.
Yeah, it seems a little real. Don't worry about that, Patty.
wouldn't be much of a stretch for me to believe that was real, I got to tell you. All right, Patty, you got to come from behind here, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's here see. We go.
The DHS considers using $3 million in loose change found at airports to fund border operations. Is that real or the onion?
Oh, gosh, that's the onion.
Unfortunately, it is not.
Oh, no.
That is from The Hill. That is from political website The Hill.
Is this a proposal that someone
is? It is a proposal that they're going to use loose change found at airports to fund border operations. Very strange.
We live in a weird world, Patty. By the way, nobody goes home empty-handed. You didn't answer the majority of them correctly, but here's what you got, okay? You got a $25 you got a $25 gift card from Anderson's Candy Shops, which are located in Richmond or Barrington. You can get them online at andersonscandyshop.com. You're also invited to Anderson's 100th anniversary party on June 29th and June 30th. Everybody's invited.
I love it.
And so there you go. All right, Patty, hang on, okay?
You.
All right, there you go. There's Patty. She won a $25 gift card to Anderson's Candy Shop, because nobody's a loser when it comes to Know Your Onion. I don't know. That's just so, I mean, it's just so weird. Just so weird. Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap up the conversation here. If you want to jump in here with a call or a text, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We'll play Know Your Onion again next Wednesday. It's a Wednesday morning thing. We do it late in the show. Every Wednesday morning, late in the show, Tom will read you some newspaper headlines, and you have to figure out if they're real or from the onion. It's as simple as that. And everybody walks away a winner because there are no losers that listen to this show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And talking about that, when we were talking about cooking eggs in bacon grease is a delicious thing, and it also is not a bad thing to throw some, if you want to mix in some bacon grease when you're making a burger. That always adds a lovely flavor. But you got to get that sear going. People who press down on the burgers, especially if you're on a grill, like an open grill, and you're pressing down on the burgers, all that great juice and all that great stuff, all that flavor is falling right into the burger, right onto the charcoal, if you're using a charcoal grill, so that's not a good thing to do. But yeah, I don't understand I always found it fascinating that the eggs were always sort of a big test for chefs. Like if the boss wanted to see if the chef was good, he would have him prepare eggs or have her prepare eggs. Because it's not the easiest. It's a surprisingly complicated and sort of difficult dish to make. And it seems easy because it's eggs. But it's hard. But I'm real good at the poaching. The poaching eggs are good. There's also this little device that I had. I don't have it now anymore since my divorce. I could go out and get one. It was this item that we picked up at at a Bed Bath & Beyond or one of those places. And it's shaped and it looks like an egg, and it's made of hard plastic, and you drop it in the bottom of the pot that you're going to be boiling your eggs in, and it will change color. And it's shaped like an egg, it looks like an egg, and it goes to the bottom of the pan, and as the water boils and as you put your eggs in, it changes color, and it tells you exactly when you have a soft boiled egg. It will change color about a third of the way through the egg, and then when you have a hard boiled egg, it'll turn red all the way across. And it's just this little kitchen thing that we picked up at like Bed Bath or Beyond. I don't even can't remember how much it was, maybe $4 or $5 or something. And it worked every time. Like if we wanted a soft boiled egg, we would it would dial up how long it's supposed to be, and it will stop. And it worked every time. It was just this little plastic device we would drop in the bottom of the pan if we didn't want to time anything, if we wanted to make sure it was right.
I can't tell you how many hard-boiled eggs I've ruined by not timing it out correctly.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's really, we used to do this thing on the show called Would Esmeralda Buy That? And there was this thing that we saw commercials for on TV where it peels hard-boiled eggs. So it makes it easy to peel hard-boiled eggs.
I could use that.
Here's the thing that's amazing to me. I don't know if I've ever had that difficult a time of, peeling hard-boiled eggs to get some sort of device. Maybe a couple of times I pulled a chunk of the egg off. But for the most part, I mean, for me at least, if you run it under cold water and start to peel it away.
Yeah.
It comes off pretty easy. I've never really had any kind of difficult time peeling a hard-boiled egg.
I have very unwieldy hands. They generally don't do what I want them to do.
Oh, I see.
Like, I have very poor fine motor skills. So, like, trying to watch me, take the shell off a hard-boiled egg is like watching a horse eat peanut butter. It's just, it's really just unwieldy.
Okay, all right. Well, you like Robert Hayes in Airplane. Do you have a drinking problem, too? He has a drinking problem, pours it on the side of his face. So, but that device makes it look like, oh, look how easy it is.
Are you tired? Are you tired?
And I love when on the infomercials when they show what could go wrong. So like these people are, they've got the eggs in the sink and they rip the eggs in half. You know, when they're trying to, they crush the egg completely in their hands and go, oh no, it's impossible to peel a hard boiled egg. Look what happens.
Like they're the Hulk or something.
Yeah, they're just ripping the egg apart. Like, no, that's not how you, first of all, you're not peeling it the correct way. You're smashing the eggs in your hand and then you're blaming the world. You have only yourself to blame. That's what I'm saying. So that's a device that I would never probably buy. It's like, hey, because it's so unbelievably difficult to peel an egg. All right. I don't think so.
No. Well, we can't all be like you.
I just don't think it's difficult to peel a hard-boiled egg. I really don't. Not difficult enough to buy, spend like $8 on some stupid device.
True.
So, anyway. All right. Hey, we're going to break here because the news is coming up. Tomorrow on the show, Dan Feinberg joins us for his biweekly TV visit. Very busy week.
Yeah, big finales.
Yeah, lots of finales. And he had a whole bunch of events that he had to attend to the past couple of weeks. And also, he's going to review the Deadwood movie for us, which premieres on May 31st. So lots of TV talk with Dan Feinberg, Triple Play Thursday, and much, much more. That's all coming up on tomorrow's show. All right, the news is coming up right after this.